Welcome to Hobbies for Zombies, Episode 6. I'm Mixed Up Zombies, and joining me on this wonderful podcast is Dr. Gumar.
You know, you don't have to put as much emphasis on it, but not bad, not bad. Hey guys, how's it going?
And Colorful Carnage.
Hi, I'm here.
So, starting off, we're gonna play some game, or play some games, and I shall pick Carnage.
I wanna play a game.
Okay.
To go.
Alright, the first thing I played was the Crackdown 2 demo, and did either of you guys play this or no?
I wanted to, but...
I don't think I have enough room on my hard drive to play it.
Well,
I need to get one of those new Xboxes, yeah.
Or
I think I only have like
a drive.
I think I only have like a gig and a half free.
Holy hell. And you can't delete any of it?
Well, I could, but I'm fucking lazy. You never know when I want to play Symphony of the Night again.
God forbid I press 4 buttons. Crackdown 2, I have the first one, but I've never really played it. And this, you know, people have been really excited because people pretty much universally love the first one. And it's just, you know, it's, you're an agent for some crazy ass agency. Well, alright.
I think it's called The Agency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit. That's awesome. And, you just, it's like a gang wars type thing going on, and it's, I mean, I don't really know. You just run around with a gun and shoot shit. But I guess the new hook this time around is that there is, like, fucking infected shit going on, and these big, like, zombie-type infected people that will run at you and ruin your day. And, you know, the city's kind of split up into, like, three different sections now, where, or, you know, there's civilians, too, but there's, like, the agency, the cell, I think is what the gangsters are called, and then the infected, which the only thing I can think to call them is someone kept referring to them as freaks. Like, don't get those freaks in here or whatever. So I'm just going to call them freaks. And, I mean, I don't know. It's, you shoot the people and then get your shit done. And then, like, you know, you level up and you can jump higher and run a little bit faster. And I guess the big thing in the first one was, like, scaling buildings, just jumping as high as you want. But there's, you know, nothing about this demo particularly excited me. Like, I didn't think it was all that or anything. It was fun to get in big, like, there was, like, now I guess since everything has gone to hell, like, most of the cars are, like, a piece of shit or, like, rigged up. Like, one of them is, like, a trash truck with, like, spikes on the front and everything. So it was cool to get in that and then run through the crowds of the infected things because, like, it would just be constant exploding piles of nasty.
And puppets.
Yeah, it was awesome. But as far as, like, the actual, you know, shooting and everything goes, it was, you press, you can shoot freehand with just holding the trigger, but you can aim different body parts with the left trigger, and, you know, one headshot kills most people in one hit. I don't know. I didn't think it was all that. I played it for the whole half hour just because I kept trying to think of something, you know, like, oh man, this is something awesome is going to happen. But it was just kind of running around and being bored, I guess. I don't know.
Any advances from the original, have you noticed?
I don't know. Like, because I didn't play the original that whole lot. But it seems like a lot more of the same from the little bit that I've played, except for the infected enemies. And I mean, they have the orbs there again. I collected a few of those. Oh, the cool thing about the demo is that you can get achievements in the demo that will, like, come into play when you get the actual game. Like, it'll unlock a bunch of achievements, which is really neat. And I think a lot of games are going to start doing that now, just because that's a pretty cool feature.
It gets people to play the demo, too. Because they're
yeah.
like, well, you know, it might count for something if I like the game, so...
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that they did that. But, and there's something on Facebook that ties in with it, and, you know, it's co-op and all that stuff, and you can get a certain gun if you do the Facebook game. And, you know, there's just a lot going on with this game, and a lot of people love the first one. So I'm sure it's more of what they love, but for me, it just seems kind of boring and aimless. Like, I was just kind of just running around shooting shit, and it wasn't that fun to me. But I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. I probably am, because a lot of people love the first one.
There's four-player co-op now, so I'm sure running around and shooting shit with three other people would be very fun.
Yeah, you know, that's probably very, very true. Because Halo was awesome with three other people. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I have for Crackdown 2, really, the demo. I won't buy it until I finish the first one, and I don't know when that's going to happen, so if I even do it. So, you know, it was cool. Is that any questions on that, or?
Is the art style a lot different than Crackdown 1?
No, it looks pretty much still the same.
Not even, like, a graphical update or anything?
I'm not sure if it's as, like, cel-shady as the first one, but it's still there for sure.
Mm.
And, I mean, it just, it looks exactly the same to me.
Mm.
Except for the new infected guys look pretty cool. Like, some of them are really big, like, boomers from Left 4 Dead, but they sprint like hell at you, which is, it's kind of cool. Like, if you get out of your car in a really infected area, you start thinking, oh shit, I'm fucked, because like they will swarm you. And you know, that's kind of cool. It gives you a cool feeling of like shit. But you know, other than that, it was alright. It was, you know, it was okay. The next thing I played was, I finished Gears of War 2, because I got this for Christmas the year it came out. And then I didn't play it until God knows when, and then I stopped playing it at one specific part, because fuck unneeded vehicle segments and games, and then I finished it this past week. And it's cool, I don't know, the story is cool that they are, at the end of the story, they definitely hint towards the whole, like, infection thing that's... What is this theme of infection going on? This infected thing that, the new Gears of War creatures, I guess, are lambent, which means they're going to explode.
It's cooler than killing humanoids, you know? They could do something different and crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's cool, and I really liked Gears 2, except for the fucking vehicle parts, which I really, really hated. But, I like the characters... What? Sorry.
What do you mean by vehicle? Like, not being in a vehicle, but, like, driving one?
Well, like, I mean, fuck, I don't know how big of a spoiler this would be, but you ride one of the fucking Reavers or whatever they're called.
Hmm.
And that, and earlier on, before that, you drive a tank across an ice lake, which the ice keeps cracking and you can fall through, and both parts just were, like, stupid. Like, I got into this groove where it was like, yeah, I'll headshot someone, reload, and then, like, I got into this groove, and then they're like, alright, cowboy, hold up, let's get in this car, and it was like, no, fuck, like, that totally ruins the momentum I have, and the Reaver part was just, I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong, because it was like, you couldn't control where it was actually flying, you could only point the gun, and it was like, I was pointing the gun at the bad guy, shooting it, and then I would die, and I was like, well, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, so eventually it just worked, which was weird, but the, you know, the gameplay is the hide behind cover and shoot, and I really kind of like this, but only for Gears, if that makes any sense, because I think they were the first game to really kind of do that.
There were a few other ones, but they're probably the most popular game to do that.
Yeah, and I just like the whole style of Gears with, like, chainsaw bayonets and, like, run up behind someone and just fucking stab them in the stomach. And, you know, that's all really cool. The story was, you know, very, very low, like, lackluster, but I think the story arc in general is going to be really cool. And the way they hinted at the next game at the end was really cool, and I really enjoyed that. But, yeah, I only had to play for about an hour and a half to finish it this time, and it's cool. You know, it's Gears. People, you know, pretty much love it. So that's cool for me, I guess. I haven't played any multiplayer in this game at all. Ever. And I bought all the goddamn maps.
I've only played multiplayer in the game. I have not played the story at all. Which I'll
really?
Probably I'll probably get into the story and just bang it out in what, like a day or so. The story isn't all that long, right?
No.
Yeah. But I actually played a little Gears. I think last week was the 6XP weekend or something like that, so I played some horde mode with some peeps.
Yeah, the only multiplayer in Gears I've tried is the very first one, when I first got the game and first got Xbox Live. I was like, yeah, let me try this. And I got in there and got absolutely destroyed. And I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore.
I think that's why we play horde mode.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've been since that.
I don't really like the way they have the, looking for group kind of structure set up. They've always had problems with their networking from the first one and the second one. You know, it's not as streamlined as other games.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I bought all the goddamn maps for it for some unknown reason. So maybe I will get some multiplayer Gears in soon.
I bought the Game of the Year edition, so it came with all those maps.
Oh, well, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you.
We need to bring back Gears and Beer somehow.
Yeah, I can
that
do
was that. Amazing. Oh, well.
Well, you guys would be
the beers.
We'll you guys would be doing beer. Day. Yeah.
I have chocolate milk.
Ginger ale, something.
Gears and ginger ale. That sounds terrible. I like ginger ale by itself, though. The other game that I've been playing is King Kong, the one based off the movie, which was a launch title, I'm pretty sure, for the 360. Yeah. And this game is really bad, guys.
I really liked this game when it came out on the Xbox. I don't know why you're playing it now, though.
It's really bad. Like, the amount of times... Like, I mean, it's just... It's not bad, like, oh, man, this game is bad. It's bad. It's poorly made. Like, I have had to reload chapters at least 10 times because something is wrong, glitched. Like, the characters will fall right through the... Like, the guy that's supposed to help me open the gate will fall through the floor. And I'll just be like, oh, okay, that's how this is going to happen, all right. And then, or, like, the guy, Jack Black's character, will be running into a wall. And I'm like, all right, you're supposed to be coming with me. Come on. Come on. And then he'll go through the wall, and I will never see him again until I reload. And it's just, like, really terribly made. And the sad thing is, it has some really cool things about it. Like, it feels very, very Survivor... horror, kind of, not horror, but it feels very cool with that aspect. Like, you pick up spears and you have to light them on fire and burn the bushes to, you know, like, there's strategy involved. Like, you can stab a grub, throw the spear across the area, and then the dinosaurs will go and eat the grubs or whatever, and then you can sneak past. Like, it's just cool. Like, there are some really neat things about the game, but the way it's made is terrible. The graphics now, they're not that hot, but I don't really fault, like, I won't hold that against the game, but just the glitches were really what killed it for me. And then when you get hit, the screen goes so blurry that you can't find where the hell you are. And then you'll die, and then it's like, all right, whatever, I'll just try it again. And then, you know, I don't know how to really, this game's not good. It's not very good at all. And I'll admit, I was playing it because I was like, hey, I could use some achievements. And
oh, man. Seriously?
Yeah.
You could use the achievements, like...
Yeah, I was like, you know, whatever.
You needed them? They needed to be yours?
Yeah, and this is how I know I'm not that bad of an achievement whore, because I'm not going to finish this game. Fuck this game. It's terrible. It's just not... I mean, the King Kong levels where you play as him are kind of cool. You, you know, you run and swing on trees and climb walls like Spider-Man for some reason. And those are really neat and cool looking, but the parts where you play Adrian Brody or whatever the hell his name is, they're not that good. And the glitches really, really ruin whatever experience you can get from the game. So yeah, I'm done with it. Fuck it. It's terrible.
I thought it was good. I don't know. Maybe
well,
I mean,
did you have glitches like that?
Not really.
Well, that's definitely the deciding factor for me. It's just because I've literally 10 times had to reload different chapters because of shit not working correctly.
That's weird. I don't know. It's not...
I have never and I will never play that game, so I... Yeah. You're not getting anything out of me.
You're a smart guy. It's terrible. It's really bad.
I mean, I haven't even seen the movie, the new movie. Even
Me
though I
either.
Like Jack, Even though I like Jack Black, I still haven't seen the new movie.
That was good, too.
I think I was watching it one day, but it was so long that my brain just totally fluttered away, and I was, like, I did something else. Because it's, like, 19 hours long or something really ridiculous. But, yeah, that's all I've been playing. I mean, not a very eventful week as far as games are concerned.
No, sounds pretty bad, actually. Sounds like the weeks I've been having.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that hot. Dude, who wants to go next?
Okay.
I guess. Okay, you go ahead, Muzz. I'll go last.
Okay. I played and beat Assassin's Creed, and Karn gave me so much crap for struggling on this game. Karn,
yeah.
Why did
I don't think I ever even died in that game as far as combat's concerned. Like, I died from jumping off shit just to see what would happen, but I didn't know that the combat could be. Well, like, alright, so let's put this in perspective. How long ago did you start this game? Because you were forgetting, like, how to block.
Well, like, yeah, like a year ago I started this game, and then I put it down, and then I finally finished it. And I forgot everything, basically, while doing it. I lost my groove. That's what I kept telling you.
When you were like, I don't know how to fight these. When you were like, how do I assassinate this person? I was like, fight them. And then you were like, how? And I was like, you just fight them. And then you finally clearly got your grip on it. But, yeah, I think it was just one of those things where you were just out of your, we can say groove, sure.
Well, I mean, there are easy points where you can die in the combat, like when you're going down to assassinate somebody, you miss, then you get gang raped, you know?
Yeah, I just figured, like, they have that counter move that's like, you can't die. You just automatically kill everyone. I don't know.
But I really like the ending of this game, and I'm getting two, so. And Karn says it's a million times better, and I'm excited for it.
It is. Too awesome.
Did you like Desmond?
Yeah. He was alright. I like Altair.
I really liked the Desmond sections, though. It was a very interesting little perk on it, especially the ending.
Yeah. The Desmond sections were, as far as story goes, the saving grace, because I thought the Altair like storyline was really bad. Like, very,
just pretty basic, go here, kill this guy, go there, kill this guy.
Yeah, and then, like, there was a plot twist that, you know, you could see, you could, like, call that coming from the get-go of the game. So, there was, you know, and I don't like Altair as a character, but we know that, so.
Also, I got Bloodlines in the mail, so we should see how that continues the story of Altair. So we should.
This is a PSP one, right?
Yeah, I haven't put it in my PSP yet, but it might be good. I don't know. It wasn't worth much Guzak's points, so I was like, eh. And it takes place a month after the past sections of Assassin's Creed, not the Desmond section. So maybe. And then I've been playing, this is probably the game I've enjoyed the most, and I want to go back to it, Hamster Ball.
What?
Yeah. It's on PSN, it's probably my favorite DLC game this, year so far. I can't think of something that came out this year that I've enjoyed as much as Hamster Ball. It's basically Super Monkey Ball.
I was going to ask if it was like Monkey Ball.
It is.
That explains everything.
And it's just like, but it's crazier and faster and just like, oh my gosh, it's going so fast. And it's just like, it's just ridiculous. And your hamster can die like at any turn of of the moment. And you just come right back. But this is like a orange blob when it gets killed. It's a little weird. But it's entertaining. And your hamster does dance moves when he reaches the goal. It's kind of simple, but it's really fun. I don't know what I could say more about the game. I was glad that they didn't use, like, motion stuff with the PlayStation controller.
I was just going to ask if they used six axis to control the ball.
It's all with your...
You know, I don't mind the six axis controls. Like, I played Flow before, and that was all right. I wasn't bad with six axis. It took me, like, 5 minutes to figure out that it was controlled by the six axis, but after I figured that out, everything was good.
I don't like them very much because, like, I played Flower with that whole thing, and that just was not jiving with me. So,
I mean,
yeah, I'm glad that they don't use it.
But yeah,
try this.
How much is it?
It's $10, and there's a demo.
Oh,
if you want to demo it, it'll give you like 5 or 10 levels. So try the demo.
You were really stoked about it, though. So, like, I'm tempted. Like, you were, like, crazy excited about it this week.
Yeah.
I could buy, like, 20 games off of Steam this week for $10, though.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. That is a good point. But, yeah, I don't know. I just really like this game. Also, the hamsters are adorable because they're so cute for some reason. I don't know why. And I love the music, too. I don't know why this game clicked with me, but it did. And I really enjoy it.
That's fair.
All right, note to self, Muzz likes hamsters. Moving on.
Okay.
What else have you been playing?
Scribblenauts, which I haven't gotten that far in it. Karn, you really like... Didn't you like this game from your review?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
That, yeah. It's pretty good. The execution could use some work, and I'm excited to see Super Scribblenauts, which you gotta actually control your character from a D-pad, not a wand. That was probably the only thing that I had trouble with. Like, I was trying to get this, you know, there's those puzzle missions, and I was trying to get, like, a cat off the roof, and I kept trying to get up this ladder, and the controls just wouldn't let me, so I just, like, screw it, jetpack, and just went up and got the cat.
Yeah, that was definitely the biggest thing with the game was, like, since you controlled everything with the stylus, it would be like you would try to pick up something small, like a grenade, and you would click past it, and your dude would go running off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, fuck. Like, it was definitely, definitely frustrating, and I don't excuse the game for that. I was able to look past it because of the originality and creativity that the game provided.
But yeah, I haven't gotten that far, and I'm still on the first, like, world of puzzles, and I made my... For some reason, I picked the DJ instead of the zombie avatar. I don't know why I did that. That was a bad move.
But I've been using the normal dude. I never even changed it.
You can buy avatars for your character.
Yeah, I always spent the money on levels. Like, I'm on the very last world now.
Is it really hard?
Not really. It's just stuff it gets to the point towards the end where it's the same kind of, like, puzzles. Like, retrieve this or do this without doing this, and you end up finding out which items work for everything and which don't. Pegasus,
yeah,
like, works. And then, like, tying a rope onto the Pegasus solves almost every goddamn puzzle.
Okay. So, I'll keep that into my mind. Pegasus, okay. So, have you played it, Gumar? Or not interested?
I don't own a DS.
Oh, yeah. But you might get one when the 3DS comes out.
That's right, but I probably would not get Scribblenauts.
No.
Plenty of other games for me to get if I get a DS, you know.
Mm-hmm. And
Scribblenauts doesn't really seem to be high on the list.
So, my final game that I've been playing is Dead Rising, and Karin says he would disagree with me on this game for some reason, but I still like the game. I just think some of it's archaic, but I can see why they did it. Like,
well, explain. Let me elaborate.
Basically, the save system is a little annoying, but you understand it once you use it. Where you can't, it doesn't autosave for one. You always have to go to certain stations to save, and there's only one save slot. And if you die, it will load you, or you can quit and start the game over with your leveled up character, which is nice, because I did that once. Because I was having trouble, so I got to level 5, and I'm still not very far in the game, but I'm just about to meet Adam, the crazy chainsaw-wielding clown. And,
yeah.
It's been entertaining. It still looks good for 2006 Xbox 360 game, and is there anything, I don't know, I haven't gotten that far in this game. I'm probably going to play it some more. It's a, like one thing that annoys me is I almost wish there was a save everywhere feature in this game. I know that kind of defeats some of the purpose, but, like, like right when I beat college, because I had been having power outages because we were having construction done around the house, and I was like, okay, I just beat Carlito, who's a psychopath in the game, and I was like, okay, I gotta get to the space station. Right then, my power went out, and that pissed me off. It was a lot easier to do it the second time, but that annoyed me, and I don't know. What do you think, Karn?
Well, I think the thing is with Dead Rising, and, you know, I'm not disillusioned here. When I first started this game, I was pissed off with it because, you know, it was, and of course, the thing is with the whole save system is they tell you on the damn screen what's going to happen, but we're so used to just clicking through and, mm-hmm. like, not even reading it. So it's both people's fault for them not making it more clear to us. But, so, like, when I first played the game, I hated it, but I think people go into this game, and there's something that just doesn't click with them, is don't expect to win, to beat the game right
yeah,
away.
They're...
Like, you're not going to, unless you know the ins and outs of the area and the mall and everything, and that's just how it is. The game is built. It is literally built for multiple playthroughs, because the story is only 6 hours long. It's not long at all. And, like, the thing with, like, people, like, you know, when you first play the game, Carlito is a bitch. But by the time you get your bearings, he's the easiest thing in the world, and he can end up being a one-hit knockout if you just do things correctly. So it's kind of, I think people go into it and get pissed off, and then they don't hang on to it. And then, you know, to them, it's like, all right, fuck Dead Rising, this game sucks. But if you persevere through, like, the bullshit, I'm not going to lie, it can be really hard in the beginning. But once you get through this one little turn, you start understanding everything. You're like, all right, so I'm just going to go here and kill a bunch of zombies and get my level up. Then I'll kill myself, come back, and whoop Carlito's ass. And then you start playing the game with the next playthrough in mind of, like, I'm going to do this now so I can do this then. And, you know, that's not for everyone, because the game ended up being a huge time sink for me. Like, I've poured hundreds of hours into that game. And you just really need to hang with it and stick with it. And there's people, you know, like, this sounds bad, but people like me who can, like, really help you out, because, like, I literally know this game more than any game I've ever played in my life. Because I was struggling with it, so I took my time to learn what was going on. I can almost remember I haven't played the game in a year, and I can almost remember most of the store's names, for hell's sake. So if you have to decide, first of all, is this something that I want to hold on to and keep playing? And then when you're like, yeah, I can do that, then you just have to switch your gear in, and it's like, all right, dying's not a big deal. I'll just start over. No, it's not a big deal. But most people, you know, dying is the ultimate penalty in most games, so they kind of get pissed off when it happens here. Like, the convicts in the park, they respawn, and people have a lot of trouble with them. And
they come back?
Yeah, they come back every night at 12 o'clock.
Even if you kill them.
Yeah, and it got to the point where it was like, God, that sucks. But now, for me, it's to the point where I look at my watch, and it's 12:05, and I'm like, oh, they're here, let me go out and kill them, and it takes me a minute and a half to kill them, and then I'm back on my way, just because you evolve, your brain evolves with the game. And, you know, like I said, most people won't be along for that ride, but if you are, it's a fucking amazing game. And I think that's where it's split, because, like, you know, it is old school with the save system and everything, and I do think that saving everywhere would be it would defeat the purpose of the game. And most people think the time slots are really too strict. But the thing is that you can literally, once you know your shit, you can do everything that's possible in one playthrough. You can save everyone, do every mission, find every secret and everything in one playthrough, just because you'll end up memorizing the schedule so good and have multiple time left over just to stick around. So,
yeah, to be fair with the save system, it was made in 2006, and autosave wasn't all that popular. They pretty much only used autosave features for first-person shooters, I believe. Everything else had save slots to it. So that could be one of the reasons why they didn't have autosave back then, but it's also because it's the clock. Everything's on the clock. That's why you only have one save slot. because they want you to focus on the clock. It's not going to be like, okay, well, I'll save now. If that doesn't work out, I'll go back to my previous save and do this. They want you to be focused on the clock to try and do as much as you can. As opposed to just, you know, okay, well, I fucked that up. Let me reload to a previous one. That way I have a bit more time. That's not how it works.
Yeah, there's definitely moments where you're going to do something, and then it's going to be like, sorry, it's going to say the truth escaped into the darkness or something like that, which means the story is done. You can't go with the story anymore, and people are going to be pissed. They're like, I haven't been paying attention to the clock. This sucks. But the thing is, you can keep playing after that and get more levels. You can finish that 3-day playthrough and then get picked up at the end by the helicopter, and it's no big deal. It's no sweat, like, it's no big deal at all. And I think people just have a hard time realizing that, and I did too when I first started playing it. But now it's my second favorite game of all time, and I absolutely love it. And I'm actually really happy that there's no autosave in the second one either, but there are multiple save slots. So, you know, people should be a little more better taken care of, I guess.
Is your favorite game of all time, since you said it's your second favorite game?
What is my favorite?
Yeah, just an awkward title, second favorite game, you know.
Well, because I'm, you know, Ocarina of Time is just like my thing.
Oh,
so,
God. You people.
Yeah,
you
hey,
people.
You've never played it, so you
Me
chill.
Neither.
No, but I think Dead Rising is... I rank my games in how, because I'm an emotional retard, so like, how they're special to me and everything. So like, Dead Rising was just like, it's just, I really love that game. Like, I don't know, it's just a very cool, complex game, and you can do things so many times and never experience the same thing twice. Because if you show up early to something, you'll see something else. If you show up late, you'll see another scene. If you show up just on time, something else will happen. And it's just, it's really cool. I mean, the flaws are, the text is tiny as fuck. The Otis is annoying as hell. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. He's very, very annoying. But once you get into the game plan, you'll answer all of his calls, and they'll mean something to you, so it's not a big deal. You end up counting on them rather than just trying to blow them off. And then escorting survivors can be a bitch. Like, their AI pathfinding is terrible, but once again, you start to compensate for the flaws. So, like, if they get hung up on a corner, you'll break the plot that they're still stuck on before they even get there. And, you know, it's not excusing the game with its flaws so much as it is just you end up coping with it if you like the game enough. That's kind of ranting, but sorry.
I got a couple questions for you just on the game, because I just need a little guidance.
Yeah.
First off, like, if I shouldn't use the word beat, finish the game, do I, like, can I still go back even after I've gone on the chopper and use my, like, level whatever character, or do I have to start all over?
No, like, if you play through the game and you end up being level 31 by the time the game ends, the game will end, and then you'll start a new game at level 31 with your same costume on.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, that's perfectly fine for me. And that sounds great. My other thing is, where do I get the tunnel maintenance key? I know that's a really silly question, but like, I've tried to go to all these security stations and I can't get in.
It's in the tunnels, actually. So you just have to drive down there and hook a left and then a right, and then it'll be there. I can't believe I remember that. I haven't played this game in a year, but that's how much this game, like, I actually feel bad now that I talked way too much about it and like kind of ranted, but I just really like this game, and people, you know, either love it or hate it, so I don't know. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, hopefully they fix all the things that you just mentioned about coping, compensating for, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's no excuse. I mean, getting used to the game, yeah, sure, but I mean, shit like that, there's no excuse for it.
No, there isn't. Like the AI pathfinding is insanely frustrating sometimes. And if they don't fix that, it's not, I mean, I will end up compensating it for it, but it's still, you're right, like, get your shit together and make them run the right fucking way. No, I agree.
Okay, so that's all I've been playing. So, Dr. Gumar, what have you been playing?
I just started playing The Witcher again. I picked it up at a Steam sale for last Christmas, I believe. It's a PC RPG, action RPG, a lot of real-time sword fighting, stuff like that. It's very cool. I played the, I guess technically it's the prologue. It's they give you all your background, teach you how to play, and I'm right up to the part where they kick you out into the world, you know. It's a very interesting game. It follows the story of, I think the guy's name's Geralt. He's the White Wolf of a band of, I guess they're technically monster hunters or demon slayers or something to that matter called the Witchers. They're not normal humans. They've been trained properly and mutated properly in a certain form, so they're bigger, badder, stronger than normal humans. And the story starts where your main character has amnesia. Yeah, pretty common. He has amnesia, but his friends happen to find him and take him back to their stronghold. And then people invade the stronghold for these mutagens that your clan's been using for God knows how many years. So you fight them off, they steal it, and you have to go and find those people. But it's very cool so far. I heard it's one of the best RPGs on the PC ever made. So it's enjoyable. The combat is, you have three different stances, good for fighting different people, and you switch in between them depending on who you're fighting. You have a power stance, a speed stance, and then a group stance if you're getting gangbanged by like four people at a time. Lots of spin moves and stuff like that. So it's fun. It's enjoyable. Lots of items. There's an alchemy section where you can mix your own potions and everything. Level up system's interesting. It seems extremely robust. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of levels. Have you guys heard anything about this game?
I heard a lot about it. It was supposed to come out on 360, but then they kind of stopped. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I believe that's right. I know the sequel, they should be coming out on 360. I'm pretty sure the game is based off of some recent novels by a Polish author, and well, I guess technically it's last decade, but the late, early 2000s.
Yeah.
It's based off of some guy's novels there, so can't be all too bad. There has to be a good backstory to it. I haven't really gotten there yet. Geralt already had sex with a woman in the first hour. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I guess he's a player. He doesn't even remember his, he barely remembers his own name, and he still has it like that, so I guess it's all right. But,
I really, really actually have been excited for this game, and I was really upset when they canceled the port because, you know, it wasn't, they gave it to someone else and then they kind of fucked it up. So then the developers were like, psych, no, you're not using this. So I'm really excited for the second one, but I'm kind of bummed out that the story will probably be like fractured since then. Like, I won't know what happened. But I have actually, since this came out, I've been really, really interested in playing it, but my computer is just not up to it, so.
You know, the minimal requirements aren't that bad. It's pretty, like, all you need is one 2.4 gigahertz processor or something like that. It's not that bad at all. And it's on sale right now at Steam for $6.79.
Oh,
so, I mean,
shit.
If you like RPGs at all, pick it up.
Well, okay. Isn't there like a director's cut edition of this?
That's the enhanced edition is the one that's on sale for $680.
Really? Shit. You know, I might have to buy it just for the sake of like transferring it to another computer down the road.
It's a very big file though. It's 14 gigs,
yeah.
I believe. So
holy hell.
Watch out if you don't have the space. Yeah.
That's
so
nuts.
hopefully there's a lot to this game, and I'm really excited that I got back into it because I'm going to try and play it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really like the idea of it and everything. So, I gotta buy it. I gotta fucking do it.
I mean, it's kind of Dark Ages type of thing. There's vampires, werewolves, and everything like that. I believe the video trailer for the game has Geralt fighting this really cool werewolf demon that possessed a girl or something. So it's very interesting. Not bad. I mean, obviously there's some flaws. It's on PC, so there's a lot of, not tearing, but like sometimes in a scene, Geralt's talking to somebody and his hair from the back of his head's going through his neck. Like it flows through his neck. Yeah, stuff like that. But if you're playing on the PC, you're kind of used to shit like that already.
Yeah. I might pick this up too. I'm trying to stop buying games, but you're very tempting.
It's $6.80. It's probably 50 hours of gameplay, you know?
God, yeah. Holy shit. You know, I gotta buy it.
The controls are kind of cool. It's always, you can have your view. Actually, they have two different types. You can use a mouse and keyboard, and there's also a way that you can just use a mouse, which I don't know about that yet. I haven't tried that because I'm always going to use a mouse and keyboard. But the mouse is always centered right in the screen, so you look around like that. You move with the WASD keys, and you can pause the game to have your mouse go free look around and everything like that. But I can see it porting really well to a console with the two analog sticks and having mostly everything mapped to the shoulder buttons. And if you need to use some other button, you can just hit, like, the back button. It'll do that pause free look screen, and then you can go and pick your menus that way. So I can see it mapping very easily to the console. But, yeah, I've only played an hour so far into it, and it's pretty good. Character models are actually, the faces look pretty good for it being, how old's this game? I don't know, the game's at least 2 years old, maybe even three. But, yeah, the character's models look pretty good. And I have my settings turned down pretty low because I use a laptop. So
yeah, that's what I would be using, too.
Yo, I mean, I'm running pretty smoothly on not the lowest resolution, but the one in the middle, and all the other settings on default, which isn't bad. I could pop it down even lower to like 800 by 600 and put all my settings on low, and it'll probably run like crystal smooth. But I hit a couple slow downs when there's like 20 guys on the screen at once. But other than that, it's all right. Not that bad. Little strategy in it, like there's one fight against a big, they call it a Frightener, which is like a big six-legged insect, size of a little house, you know, and its weakness was noise, so I had to hit it, run around, hit a bell or a big cauldron with a spell, run back and hit it while I was stunned, you know, that type of thing, so there is a bit of strategy involved.
That's cool, yeah.
Is the combat fun?
The combat's not bad. There's a combo system where you strike once, and then your reticule will light up, and you hit it again, and you string combos together. There's a dodge system involved that involves double tapping on the keys, which isn't exactly the best way to dodge, but it's there if you need it. And you can use, you know, you can make certain potions that help you along. So it seems like it's going to be extremely deep. And hopefully it is, since it's 14 fucking gigs.
That's nuts. That's fucking crazy.
14 yeah.
gigs.
So the other game you've been playing?
I just recently picked up Resonance of Fate again. I played 40 hours of it over last semester, and I just picked it back up. You guys know about this game, right? It's a strategy RPG, I want to say, but it's a little bit different than your common strategy game. It focuses on the battle system. The story isn't quite there. It's not exactly as grandiose as like a Final Fantasy would be, but the battle system is where it's at. It's a very new form of battle system where it takes bits and pieces from other ones, but you have three characters, and there's two different types of main weapons. One's a submachine gun, and the other one's a pistol. The submachine gun does something called scratch damage, which isn't instant damage. It does a lot of the scratch damage, but in order for it to be permanent damage, you have to shoot him with a pistol. So it forms a little complex layer where you run up, you hit some guy with an SMG as much as you can, and then you shoot him with a pistol. So it takes a lot more damage instead of just poking little points away with a pistol over and over again. You're fighting in a confined room. Every random encounterment, I want to say they're not quite random, but every random encounterment, you're in this square, let's say, a big square or big shape, and there's other objects in the way, and you can jump onto them, run around, and stuff like that. And everybody has turns with an action bar. One of the main things is you use something called a hero gauge, which takes a token away, and you do like this, you do this run in a straight line, and you could jump and do like crazy flips and shoot people at the same time and everything like that. And then if you use that enough in the right way, you can lock a triple attack where all three of your characters run around in a triangle and shoot the same person and stuff. It's very cool, and it's extremely complex. I know they had a tutorial for it that you go through. It takes about half an hour to an hour doing the tutorial, and you still don't learn everything you need to know. You pick up everything along the way. Like, I'm in the eighth chapter. I'm still thinking there's other little nicks and knacks in there that little nuances that I don't know yet. Like, you could equip different bullet types. You could use different types of grenades for enemies' weaknesses and stuff. It's very robust. Another main part is it's also a dress-up game. You can buy you could buy different outfits for every one of your characters and manipulate it and everything like that. And I didn't know how big it was until I picked up colored contact lenses for characters. And you can dye your character's hair if you have the right item and stuff like that. So it's very, very cool if you like dress up. It's nice because you're using the same three characters the entire time. So if you get bored of them, you can just change what they look like, you know, instead of having to have new characters, like a list of 10 different characters you can pick from.
I think that's so funny that it's like this crazy in-depth RPG and then dress up. But I like that part appeals to me more than like the, no, I don't know. It all sounds cool, but I've just heard like really weird mixed things about it.
Well, the big thing is the story isn't really there. When there is a story, it's extremely quirky. Like one of the first characters you do a mission for is a mentally handicapped character. He has like a funky, dodgy ass haircut. He wears like some strange ass t-shirt, and you could tell he's not all there in the head. But it's refreshing to see characters like that in an RPG, because usually most RPG characters are cookie cutter, perfect formed kind of characters. So it was nice. And he's a recurring character. It's not just, you know, once and you see handicapped boy, but he comes back and everything like that. So it's a cool little comical thing, but it's very quirky. A lot of inside jokes. Like after there's a lot of one-liners after battles, and the one girl, I believe her name's Leanne, and she goes, "Yeah, I can play offense." Oh, it's in the beginning of the battle. I can play offense or defense, and the main protagonist goes, "Oh yeah, look at that, Leanne goes both ways," you know, stuff like that. You know, just,
what?
Yeah, just like little jokes like that. It's not exactly politically correct, but it's refreshing for RPG.
That's ridiculous.
I believe your boy Nolan North voice acts for the main character.
Don't tell me that. Like,
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Is he at all different, or is he just, I'm Nathan Drake?
You know, I don't pay attention to that shit. I don't pay attention to who's voice acting. It's not quite the Nathan Drake voice, but I guess it's his fucking voice. You know, I don't think he changes his voice for Nathan Drake, so he's not going to change his voice for something else. You know, it's that guy's voice. So,
God damn it. Now, my question is this. You said you've put in, like, 40 hours?
Like, yeah, 30 to 40 hours. Yeah, I think I'm about halfway through the game.
Doesn't the lack of story kind of make that, you know, not hard to do, but, like, isn't that usually one of the motivating factors for these, like, 60-hour-long RPGs? Is that
you
the story?
There's a lot to do in the game. There's a lot of side missions, but there's enough story to go along. But one chapter was, oh, Leanne's got a cold. I have to go pick up cold medicine. But the world you're in some type of steampunk tower catastrophe type of place where in order for me to go pick up cold medicine, I had to go down three floors and go into the cold storage area where they keep all the medicine and fight guys through it the whole time. So it takes a while, but it's really cool checking out the world. The world is extremely interesting. It's the world was going to end or something like that, so mankind built this extremely elaborate clockwork type of tower where the cream of the crop live up on the top of the tower in some place called Chandelier. And the further down you go, the more slummy it is and the more tougher the enemies are and stuff like that. But it's very complex and elaborate. The way they limit you from going from place to place is they have a hex system for the world map where in order to unlock somewhere to go, you need to put these tiles down. Usually there's four hexes into a certain tile and they make a certain shape. So you might not be able to go everywhere right away. And they have different colored tiles you need to unlock. So you might be able to go down to the third floor, but stop somewhere because, you know, you can't go to a certain area. You don't have that proper shape to unlock, or you don't have that right color to unlock. So it's very cool how they limit you to where you can and cannot go, instead of just saying, oh, there's a mountain range here, you know, you can't fly over it or something stupid like that. It's just like, okay, well, we can't unlock this area, but we can go over here and do that. And there's a lot of nuances with the world maps that help you help affect your battles. Like you can unlock these generators that if you connect with enough colored tiles to certain areas, they'll give you bonuses like extra hit points or extra experience points, stuff, better regeneration rate. So it's very cool, very elaborate. And even though the story isn't there, like one of the big games, it still gets you playing because of that battle system. Never gets old. It's always challenging. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Obviously, $40 or 40 hours is pretty damn good. I'm trying to think of like what price I'm willing to shell out for this. Just because it sounds something like it would be an experiment for me. You know, like not a for sure kind of thing. How much is it still? $60 now?
Checking that right now. I know Chip's been playing the game, and he's on chapter 13 of 16, I want to say, and he's hit almost 100 hours into it.
Holy hell. Oh, you know what? See, I don't know. I don't want to like get it and then be like, wow, I'm not really digging this game. But you know what? We got Guzek, so I guess it's not really too much of a...
Looks like they stopped printing the game because GameStop is currently out online. So...
Oh... Damn, I don't know. I want to dress people up. It sounds really cool, though. Like, very, very deep. I mean, it sounds like you've got a whole hell of a lot on your plate with the game.
Yeah, it is. Like I'm still learning things about the battle system, and every time you see a new enemy, you're like, what the fuck's going to happen? I don't know. Like, enemies are fucking crazy. There's, like, fat gangsters, dogs with knives in their mouths. I know later on there are slot machines that have a shotgun come out of the mouth. Like just wild shit. Like wild shit you would never see before, you know? Instead of your classic slime or, you know, a behemoth or stuff like that. The boss fights are fucking huge. One of the cool things is that there's life bars in three dimensions around an enemy. So instead of just an enemy having one life bar, if you attack from one direction, you might not be able to, like, you have to break off pieces of armor and stuff like that. So if you kill an enemy from one direction, you might need to break off another direction in order for it to actually hit his main life bar.
That sounds awesome.
The AI for the enemies is pretty smart, so if you're charging up an attack, it will turn its body to have the most robust piece of armor facing you, you know?
That's really cool. Like, it almost sounds like stabbing the different things on the Colossus in Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. The boss fights, the enemies are fucking huge. Like, you know how I said you could do, like, this cool moonsault jump over people? The bosses are so large, if you try and do that, you'll hit the boss and fall down and end your turn, you know?
Well, that ends your turn, hitting the boss and just...
Well, yeah,
That's awesome. You
run into an object. If you forget to jump over a barrier and you hit it, it ends your turn, you know?
That's awesome. This sounds really cool. I really kind of like the sound of this.
It is an extremely good battle system. And even though you're always fighting in the square,
they'll put in, you know, ledges and stuff like that for you to jump onto. So it's always changing. It's always a changing environment. You're not always into a static environment where you just mash on the A button to attack. You always have to think about what you're doing. And that's probably what keeps me in the game, you know. It's ever-changing, ever-evolving.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. God damn it. You make games or sound so fucking cool on this damn thing. I'm always like, yeah, I've never even thought about that game before, but it sounds awesome.
Well, I normally don't play shit games, so that might help.
Memento, remember?
Yeah, Memento is banging. That was a movie, though.
Yeah, it wasn't $40. He watched it for free on Netflix Instant, you know.
Fuck yeah, he did. Memento. Can I ask you, are you cool with Resonance of Fate, or do you have anything else to say about it?
I'm good. I'm all right. I think I've said every aspect of the game I could possibly say, unless you have a question.
Well, I was just going to ask about something else that I know you played.
Yeah, go ahead.
How did 3D Dot Game Heroes wrap up?
When I talked about it last time, two weeks ago, I guess, I was two boss fights away from the end of the last tower, you know. I was really close to the ending. And, it wrapped up in basic Zelda form, you know. Kind of a quick ending. I don't really think there were that many jokes to it or anything like that. But the main draw about the game is that you can New Game Plus, you know, you can start same character and everything like that and go and collect everything, you know, that type of thing.
Are you going to do it?
What's that? I'm probably not going to do it. I'm not a huge fan of New Game Plus. Actually, the nice thing is at the end, before you talk to the king to actually end the story, they do have, you know, a bunch of people want to talk to you. And if you helped all these people with the side missions, they're there and you could talk to them. They might say some funny things. They might not. I didn't go too far into the side missions, so I didn't really have a lot of people to talk to. But, I'm sure, you know, the castle will be full of people depending on what you've done in the game.
That's a nice little kind of reward, I guess. That's cool. I like that. Yeah, I was just wondering how 3D Dot Game Heroes went.
It's nice.
That's such a bad name. God.
I think it was like 20 hours or something like that. So
that's
good.
Not bad. $40.
$40 brand new. So
yeah, definitely I still have it. And I haven't even tried it.
Me neither.
Well, if you played all those old games like I have, it's going to be great. And if not, it's still going to be a fun game. You know, it's going to be a fun adventure game. But just because I had that nostalgic factor in there, it meant a bit more to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's listen to some nice stories.
Anyway, children, wasn't that a wonderful story? Wasn't that a wonderful fucking story for you to hear?
Doc, you ready to rage a little bit?
Oh, I'm ready to rage.
Alright, so I've been reading, much to Doc's chagrin, Slaughterhouse-5 by Kurt Vonnegut, because one of my neighbors, her and I had a discussion about books and how much I liked reading them and everything, and I said, you know, I haven't read any of his stuff. And she said, oh, I have a ton of his stuff. And then she gave me 15 books. And I guess I should have known something right then and there, like she was getting rid of all this stuff, but this is supposed to be his, you know, magnum opus. Like, Slaughterhouse-5 is supposed to be his best, his book. I mean, that's right, right?
I know it's so popular that even high schools put it as required reading on certain curriculums, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those, it's that popular, you know? It's like Catcher in the Rye and stuff like that. When a school puts it on for a curriculum, you know it has to be a popular book.
Yeah, so what the fuck is going on in this book?
Well, let me talk about Kurt Vonnegut for a second. Yeah.
Okay, all right, sure, let's do this.
For me, it's always you either hate him or you love him. Personally, I fucking hate him. He's out of his goddamn rocker. I have no idea what he's talking about half the time, and I guarantee you he has no idea what he's talking about half the time. It's very niche. Like I said, you either love him or hate him. You can't be like, Kurt Vonnegut, he's all right, you know? It's one of those relationships. Karn, do you have any type of love or hate for Kurt right now, since this is your first?
I just, he was one of those authors that I had known about, and I was like, you know, I should probably check him out because he's so damn famous. And he just recently died. So I was like, you know, I really should owe it to myself, since I would like to be a writer, to read one of his books. And so far, I'm not sure where, I don't necessarily hate him, but I definitely don't know what the fuck is going on with anything. Like, oh my god.
See, for Vonnegut, I remember mostly the story and the plot lines, and that one makes me say that he's out of his fucking mind. I can't really remember his writing style. Do you like his writing style?
No, that's one of my biggest complaints. It's very minimalist, but like not in Chuck Palahniuk or whatever, how you ever say his name is. He writes very short sentences, but it doesn't bother me because I guess the characters are meant to be kind of assholes or whatever, but in this story, the first 30 pages of the damn book are a foreword, basically. I mean, it's the first chapter, but it's him going, yeah, I was in Dresden. I was going to write a book about Dresden, so it goes. And, like, very dry and very boring. And he mentions the fact that, I was going to write a book about Dresden, but I didn't until now, like, 8 times. And he says shit like, I'm just an old fart, and, like, he's not funny. Like, it sounds like he's trying to be funny, and he's not at all. And his writing style was really irking me, actually.
Because with Slaughterhouse-5, Kurt Vonnegut is the narrator. He's not the main character telling the story, correct? He's the narrator.
Right, as soon as the second chapter begins. Yeah.
Yeah. So the forward is pretty much the narrator just randomly talking. It's fucking weird. It is extremely strange.
Yeah,
you don't see that often at all. Maybe like a page of the narrator saying stuff, but not a whole chapter of the narrator just talking.
Yeah, and this was 30-some pages of him just rattling off about, yeah, I was with my old war buddy. Like, there was really a guy who got shot for taking a teapot. I'm like, dude, tell me the story. I don't want to hear about how it became.
It's not even him talking about the story. It's just him talking, you know?
Yeah, it's very, very odd. And then, you know, the story starts, and it's, what the hell? It's a guy named Billy Pilgrim during World War II who gets, I believe they say, unstuck in time. He gets unstuck in time and time travels. I guess. I don't know.
It's strange. The way it's supposed to be interpreted is that he loses track of time in Dresden. He doesn't know what's real, what's not real. Because he's in Dresden for, they lock themselves up into a basement, and even after the wars, the basement of a slaughterhouse, and and even after the war goes on, like, you know, the U.S. conquers, they free everybody from Dresden, they move on, liberate Germany, all that good shit, but even after all that, they're still down there in that basement. So he loses track of time a lot. And then some really crazy shit happens. Shall we elaborate on what fucking weird-ass shit happens?
I mean, they say it in, like, one of the first paragraphs of the second chapter, so I don't think it's a big deal. But, you know, you go ahead and try and get this out there.
God, well, it's been a while since I read it, but he gets visited by aliens that can really travel through the fourth dimension. They're time travelers. They can do anything, pretty much. They know everything that happens to what the fuck's the guy's name? Billy? They know everything they know everything that happens to Billy, from his past to his future. And while Billy's in Dresden, he's hallucinating, quote unquote, about his past, about his possible future, his present, and stuff like that. And the aliens come down and explain it all to him about how he's going to die and this, that, and the other thing. And it's really fucking strange.
I liked the idea that they put out there where they said that because they can see in four dimensions or whatever, that they just see everything as one big long timeline. Like the way that he said they see someone's life as if you're looking at the Rocky Mountains or whatever, which is, if someone's dead, they just see it as, oh man, they're in a bad state, but right over there, they're fine. So, like, they say, it's so weird to think that I'm dead but eating at the same time because it's all in one stretch of scenery or whatever. It's weird, yeah. Dude. It's really weird.
It is.
I'm not that far. I'm halfway through it, but I'm struggling because his writing style is very dry and boring to me. And
yeah,
the weirdest metaphors. Like, what the hell? Like, he compares things to, like, I'm trying to think of the one thing. It was like the gun made a sound like a zipper opening up to God's fly or something really weird. Like, it made no sense at all. And I was just kind of like, all right, sure. I just don't know. This guy is so famous, and I'm trying to figure.
I don't even know if usually for people that write weird stories and stuff like that, there's some type of overarching plot that appeals to real life, you know? And this,
yeah.
It doesn't seem like there is one. I mean,
we talked about how Wizard of Oz was about the gold rush and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this one is just weird, dude. It's just, like, weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's out there. At least his ideas of the fourth dimension are pretty accurate for scientists today. But, other than that, it's just insane. Some guy's locked in Dresden. You think it's going to be a fucking story about, you know, war and stuff like that. And then aliens come out of left field and tell him all this shit.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the goddamn first chapter is him, like, rattling off about, yeah, I wanted to write a war story. So I'm like, okay. And then you get into the first goddamn sentence of the next chapter is Billy got unstuck in time. And I was like, what? And I'm looking at the back of it, and it's like, is this a science fiction book? And it doesn't say anything about it. It's just like, yeah, Slaughterhouse-5 is the greatest book ever. And then I go and I keep reading it, and I'm like, aliens, Trankflodors, or whatever the hell they're called. And I'm like, what the hell is going on in this book? It came out of nowhere. It was just, ugh, dude, it's nuts.
It is. It's very nuts. What you've been reading next is just as nuts.
But awesome.
I couldn't finish it.
Really?
Sunflower posted up a short story in the IRC the other day called I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. And I don't think I just didn't have the motivation to actually finish reading it. But it seemed justifiably insane. Karin, go ahead.
It is written very oddly. Like, I guess you don't really figure out that it's from a person in the story until, like, a few paragraphs in. But it's a very short story written by, I can't remember his name. And
I got it right here. It's by Harlan Ellison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And the story is loosely, people are trapped inside a computer, I believe, named AM or AM or whatever. Because I think whatever, therefore I am. Whatever that goddamn phrase is. I can't think of it now.
Therefore I am?
Yeah, there, sure.
Rene Descartes?
Yeah, they used this in the story. And it's a computer who apparently caused the apocalypse. Like, it's very vague about what happened before the story. And now there's 4 or 5 people stuck inside the computer. And it just basically torments them. Like, it's been 100 and some years since they've actually been put in there, but the computer doesn't let them age or die. And it just has fun fucking with them. And that's literally the whole plot. Like, the one guy, there was this is a short story, so, like, I don't know where, you know, cut stuff off, but there's, for example, being tormented, one guy who was a gay scientist now looks like a simian, like a monkey type thing, with a huge, like, huge balls, I guess. Like, that's how you describe it. It has a huge genitals. And that's how weird the story is. It's very, very, very odd. But it's like, now I feel weird because I just like, shit on Slaughterhouse-5, and now this one sounds even more insane. But something about it just seemed very interesting, and I think because it was a short story, it was better. But
yeah, I could see that, the fact that it was short. But I mean, it's pretty much the computer just tells them where to go and what to do, and the people don't have to follow exactly what the computer says, but he'll make situations like, okay, the guys are about to run out of food. The computer says, oh yeah, there's plenty of food over here, and, you know, the forest of demise or some crazy shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
And they have to go walk to it unless they want to starve, that type of thing.
And of course, they can't starve, but they still feel hunger pains.
Yeah.
Because the computer won't let them die. And it's very weird. It's free on the internet. It's like, if you type it in on Google, it's like the, it's one of the very first links. So read it if you want. It's interesting. And it won't take you that long to read. A few minutes, maybe. But, I liked it. I thought it was very cool. And they, just the way that they slip the title in, like the title ends up having a meaning in the story, which is very cool. And they do that similar stuff with like, Iron Legend is what the first thing I thought of was, because they end up saying, this title ends up meaning so much more. So I thought that was really cool. I liked it. It was very neat. It's weird though. It's very weird.
Do you guys know that there's a game based on the story?
That's what they said. It's like an adventure game?
Yeah, it's a 1995 adventure game. It's really dark. I could
see that.
For it. And it's the same basic plot. Harlan Ellison actually helped produce it and everything. The actual author.
That's really cool. So it's kind of authentic, it sounds.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
And it's really violent and everything. And yeah.
Yeah, the story was violent. It was just, it was very dark. Yeah, I liked it though. It was cool. That's all I've read.
Yeah. You haven't been reading anything, right, Muzz?
I've been reading the back of game manuals.
The back of game manuals? Aren't there like advertisements on the back of game manuals?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The back
I'm just picturing a big EA sign.
And inside game manuals. That's it.
Well, that sucks, because game manuals aren't that big anymore.
No.
I like the old big ones. They're awesome.
Yeah. I know when I bought Earthbound for the SNES, it came with the actual strategy guide as its manual, which was interesting, complete with scratch-and-sniff cards.
Oh, what? That's awesome.
That was, yeah. Plus, one of the main enemies was called Barf, Master Barf. Or Master Belch, he changes his name halfway through when he becomes more powerful. And yeah, he smelled like shit. But
oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Why would you even do it? Like,
well, you have to know. You have to figure out what it's like looking at a train wreck. You know, you just keep watching. You have to figure it out.
You have to smell Master Barf.
Yeah, you have to know what he smells like.
Oh my god.
So, what have you been reading?
I've been reading an old Greek comedy called Lysistrata by Aristophanes, written in 400 BC, around 400 BC.
So not that long ago.
Oh no, only about what 2,400 years ago. Not too bad. Do you guys read any Greek dramas or Greek, you know, comedies? Do you guys know anything about them?
Like
Oedipus Rex or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Okay. Same type of thing, except this is a comedy. One of the big things about Greek dramas and comedies is about how they're performed. You've seen pictures of, like, the big amphitheaters built on the sides of hills. Most of the actors were all men. And what they would do is they would wear masks depending on what character they were. So they would have, masks two times the size of their head made out of marble or granite that they would hold up to show what character they were. So it's very, very cool little nuances knowing about how these plays were performed and then knowing about the play. But this play is about the Peloponnesian War. And how the women of Greece want the war to end. The Peloponnesian War, I believe, is the Trojan War, same thing, or something close to it. I might have been the same. Yeah, I want to say it's the fucking Trojan War, but it's probably wrong. But there are a lot of wars. Greek people like to fight. Most dramas or tragedies have something to do with the gods, and this one doesn't really have to. It's more timely and historical. But the plot is that the women of Greece want this war to end. So what they do is they withhold all sexual relations with men. And it's very, very cool. Lots of double entendres and sexual scenes and stuff like that. But it's funny. It's a comedy. It's meant to be comical, you know? It's an idea like that, withholding sex from all the men of Greece to end a war. That's a funny idea. Especially for 400 BC. So it's a play.
Yeah, that's on the cutting edge back then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a play, so it goes on, and with Greek plays, there are normally only three or four people speaking parts on stage at a time, because that's all the amount of actors they had, since they had these massive interchange. So it's very quick-witted, stuff like that. It's enjoyable. Like I've said before about copyright laws, you might be able to find a free version, but the problem is that this was a Greek comedy. So you might not be able to find a good version because it needs to be translated properly. You could probably pick up a $5 copy of it. I think when I originally got it for my Greek dramas class, the guy wanted to show at least one comedy. So I think I bought it for $4 or something like that. It's very small. It's very quick read because it's a play, and it's enjoyable to see what comedy was back then.
How do you do with reading plays? Like, you're cool with, like, no big deal?
I'm all right with it. I don't even visualize it at all. I don't visualize people on a stage or anything like that. I just read it like it's a book. Just, you know, speaking parts, and that's about it.
See, for me, I can read Shakespeare stuff, and I know you don't like The Crucible, but I can read that and, what's the other one I read? A Man for All Seasons. Like, those are all plays I can read, but for our summer reading last year, they wanted us to read Our Town.
Okay.
And that was the most terrible experience of my life for me. And I don't know why. I just could not read it. It was, I mean, God forbid, it's much easier to read than a normal book because it's, like, very concise, but I have problems reading plays sometimes. They just bother me. I think I need, like, when in a class, if we read them, we, like, you know, one person will do one character, and I think that helps me a little bit, but...
With Greek dramas, like I said, there's only a couple people on stage at a time, so that helps out right away. But one main problem is the translation. So there's some horrible translations out there, and there are some really good translations out there, so it's really hard finding a good one. If you look around enough, you'll be able to find one all right that's in more modern dialogue. It pretty much all depends on what year it was translated to. Like, you don't want to have a translation from 1890 because that's gonna be horrible. It's compared to reading Shakespeare. If you don't like reading Shakespeare, it's because it's the same English as it was in the 1500s or Victorian England, wherever the fuck Shakespeare was alive. 1500s, am I right?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. So it's that type of thing, you know. Because I don't like Shakespeare because of the language. I know he used it on purpose with the iambic pentameter and everything like that, but the language is horrible for us to read nowadays because we don't speak like that. Actually, they didn't speak like that back then, so it's very, very odd.
He made up half of those words, didn't he?
Like, I don't know what
I
he
think he's like credited with making up most of them.
I can see that, but it's just strange because they don't speak like that. Fetch me my longsword, ho! It's not like that.
Yeah,
you know, he adding words in just to make it fit with his structure and stuff like that. So for me, reading Shakespeare, I don't like it. The stories are good, very very timeless stories, but. Just the way it's written, I don't really like it. Actually, you can tell because I think in '96 they made an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, a movie adaptation, where they kept the same dialogue in it, but they made it for modern times. So when they say "Fetch me my rapier," someone will whip out his 9mm rapier. You know,
was this the Leonardo DiCaprio one?
It was the Leonardo DiCaprio one.
That was pretty good, actually.
It is, but it's just the language. It's laughable.
Yeah,
They did do a good job with the characters. Mercutio's character was awesome. Exactly how
he
picked.
Yeah.
Times.
He dressed as drag, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what he did. That's what he did in the story too. He was just wild and out there, you know, that type of guy. So it was very good. But the language is really hard to get over.
Marcusio is the man. I like him a lot.
Too bad he died. But
what? Sorry.
But moving on, I also have reread A Modest Proposal by Jonathan Swift. Have you guys read A Modest Proposal?
Isn't this the one where he talks about
don't give away any of the story. You could give away the first few things, but it's him trying to fix the famine crisis in Ireland. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The reason why I don't want it's a short story. It's not going to take that long at all. And yet again, you can find this online for free because it was written in 1729. But it's a satirical essay about the rift in British and Irish communities and how, you know, maybe British people found themselves being much better than the Irish and how the Irish was a burden on them. Actually, the full title for A Modest Proposal is A Modest Proposal for Preventing the Children of Poor People in Ireland from Being a Burden to the Parents or Country and for Making Them Beneficial to the Public. So that might give you an idea of the social structure of where he's writing it from. But it's very cool because he gives an idea of how for the poorer people of Ireland to make money, while the richer people, the British or the rich Irish, can have prosper from it by having a delicacy. He goes on explaining everything, and the hook is what he's actually explaining is going to happen. It's a very quick read. I think it's maybe 10 pages. You can find it online. And it might be a little weird, a little twisted, your first read, but I find it extremely funny by how he's writing it. You know what I mean?
Oh, you showed me this before. Now that I'm looking at it. Yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah, I find it very funny after he releases his hook because he makes it sound like such a grandiose idea, like the perfect idea. Like when I first read it, I was like, yeah, this sounds awesome. Why haven't they done this yet? You know, why didn't they do this to fix the famine and the poverty in Ireland? And then he releases it and it's funny because he writes it like it's a good idea because he's writing as a higher class in England. He says he got this idea from his friend in America, and it's very cool. I enjoy it. It's quick, and I like rereading it every once in a while.
Yes.
So I would recommend that. Muzz, have you read it, or you just know about it?
I know the hook, basically.
Oh, you know the hook. Read it. It's pretty good, though.
I know a lot about it.
It's more or less how he describes everything, and then the hook, than just the hook itself. Mm-hmm. And, Karn, I've showed it to you, but you haven't read it yet?
No, I read it.
Oh, okay. You liked it? It was good?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was a very quick read, so.
Yeah. I'm a very big fan of satire, so.
And that's what I like. Yeah.
Alright, but that's all I've been reading.
So, let's get our popcorn ready.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
Karn?
I hate popcorn.
You know what? Dude, whatever.
It's like eating styrofoam, man. I don't want to eat styrofoam. I hate styrofoam. Styrofoam rub up against each other, it's all squeaky and whatnot.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
Eating that.
I would stab someone in the face.
It's like eating that. It's gross.
Now, your problem is just with the texture, right? Like, you don't mind the taste or anything, you said.
Well, right? it has no taste to begin with.
Well, no. It depends if you don't cook it in oil, no.
Butter that shit up, dude. What are you talking about?
It has taste. And... yeah, I don't like the texture, and I don't want to have to put on a pound of fucking butter and salt in order for popcorn to taste good.
Or other random shenanigans, like caramel corn. You don't like that? I mean,
not
that's really. Not even a styrofoamy.
Yeah, well, it's just a wad of sugar now, but you have to dress up popcorn in order for it to taste good, and I don't want that. I don't like it.
What about like salad, lettuce?
I don't do salad. I'm not a huge fan of salad.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Then whatever. Okay, we're done with this.
Yeah, fuck you too. All right.
So, Crazy Heart.
Yeah, I saw this movie about crazy hearts, and,
are they insane?
They are crazy. It takes place in an asylum. No, it's about, a country singer, or, you know, I hate using the word country because now it's become this, like, weird, like, very negative term, almost.
Say country western for the music genre.
Okay, yeah, or, like I was gonna say, like, folk, like, it's more like Johnny Cash, you know what I mean? Like,
okay, yeah.
So, that's what it reminds me of. So, it's good, I guess. So, what's his name, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, Jeff Bridges won an Oscar for this for Best Actor. And he plays a kind of down-and-out country singer, and the movie opens with him having to play a bowling alley. And of course, while he's playing, most people are bowling and none of them are really paying attention. But he was, like, a huge star at one point, which is kind of funny because, like, I don't know, never mind. I was going to say Eddie Money or whatever was just in a bar down the street. But,
I like Eddie Money.
I know, and he was, like, just in a goddamn bar. What's that about? But,
So he's like all those bad pop stars in the 80s, like Tiffany and stuff like that, that were really popular and now they're unknown.
Yeah. And, of course, like, his protege is now extremely much more famous than he is, and he's just kind of left in the dust. And, you know, the movie, it was really, really good. And I guess I would have, I don't remember the nominees for the Best Actor, but it definitely seems like he should have won. And he meets a girl, and he's, you know, that's where the hook of the movie or whatever comes in. It's all about romance. And the people that play in the movie do a really weird job. But it's weird because his protege is Colin Farrell. Would you pin him as a country singer? It's very, very weird, like, to me. But he's a good singer, apparently. And so is Jeff Bridges.
Does he have, like, a shaved head and a bullseye on it? Or no?
No, he has a long ponytail.
Oh. Does he wear a wool cap?
No.
Okay.
What movie did you think that one was?
Colin Farrell always, out in public, wore a skin cap. You know, a ski cap, that type of thing. No matter if it was 200 degrees outside, he would still be wearing one of those. But in the Daredevil movie, he played Bullseye, so he had a shaved head and a big bullseye on his forehead. But he was an alright actor. He's not very popular nowadays, but...
But he plays the protege, and he's a good singer, and Jeff Bridges is a really good singer. And that's, like, kind of the cool thing about the movie is the soundtrack is very, very nice. Like, and I like music, so that's cool for me. Well,
it's amazing the amount of actors that are actually good singers. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It blows my mind sometimes. Now, of course, I can't think of anyone else, but, yeah. And, fuck, I can't remember what I was going to say now. But the movie, the thing that bothered me was, the movie starts with him as this, like, really, really nasty kind of old man. And then there's, like, 20 minutes in, there's just this, like, weird character change. And, like, there's nothing in the plot to make this happen. It's just all of a sudden he's happier and more, like, charming and everything. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, I was literally left for the rest of the movie trying to figure out what the fuck happened to make him be not as bitchy anymore. I don't know. It's kind of trivial and probably wouldn't bother anyone else. But, like, it was one of those movies where you're watching him and you go, man, he's a prick. And then out of nowhere, he was totally fine. And it was just very, very weird. But the movie, it was good, you know? It was good music and I almost want to say it was similar to Walk the Line, because it felt like it borrowed some of the, you know, the plot from that, but it was, I don't know, it was a good movie. It was about a singer that was down and out. You know, it's not it's not a new novel idea, but.
What year was this movie?
This came out last year. He won the Oscar for Best Actor.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's, do you guys have any questions about it or anything?
Not really.
Never heard about it. I might check it out.
All right. So
I'm going to hop on this one with you, Karn, because I saw this one as well.
This movie, I saw Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3!
Which, you know, you've been waiting for 11 fucking years. I have. I mean, I don't know if you even like Pixar stuff, Doc, but...
I've seen the first two stories. I have cousins that were pretty young around that age, so I watched it with them. So, not bad. The voice acting's great, because it's, what is it,
Woody Allen and, Tom
Hanks. No, it's not Woody Allen, it's Tim Allen and...
Tim Allen and Tom Hanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like wondering...
Woody Zombie Allen's Lance. On the other end of spectrum of Tim Allen.
That would make such a drastically different movie. But, and I have yet to see a Pixar movie that I didn't think was amazing. Like, that's just kind of how they roll, you know? And I haven't seen Cars or Ratatouille. But
you don't
I know,
need to see Cars.
Yeah,
that's
I've
like
heard
the
that
worst. That's like the... If there was a bad Pixar movie, that would be it. But Ratatouille's great.
So, like, you know, I've been waiting 11 years. When I saw the first movie, I was 3 fucking years old. And then by the time the second movie came out, I was, you know, 7 or something weird, like the 5 or 7. And now, of course, the hook in the movie is Andy, the guy who owns all these toys, is now 17. Guess who else is 17? And he's going away to college, which doesn't really make sense, but I guess.
Are you alluding to the fact that you can identify with Andy?
Yes, I am, because it's about to get emotional up
me
in here.
Too.
It's about to get real up in here?
Yeah.
It's about to get real. So
real. Also, I got one thing to say about Andy. That's the same voice actor who's been doing Andy since the original Toy Story, which I thought was awesome.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
They got the same kid who was doing Andy in the first one, and he's all grown up just like Andy in the movie, and they just got him to do the same voice.
That's cool. See, it's like little touches like that that are awesome. And, like, the story, immediately, as soon as the story starts, I mean, there's this really, like, surreal, like, action sequence at the beginning, which is supposed to be Andy playing with his toys and what's going on in his imagination. And then it goes through this little montage of like him growing up and everything. And then as soon as that part kind of passes, there's this really melancholy feeling that just like kind of drapes over the rest of the movie. Like it's just this really weird feeling. Like, because the whole movie is about them saying, all right, well, we know he'll pack us up in the attic. It'll be fine. We still have each other. And then they're like, even though we've lost some people along the way. And then they mention toys that aren't in the movie anymore.
Yeah. Like, and then Woody has, heartfelt moment because like Bo Peep was like his girlfriend and he lost her.
Yeah, and she's
for like a second. Yeah,
and it's just like it just has this really weird thing going on. And of course, you know, there's a few mix-ups happen and they end up going to this daycare and they're all like stoked except for Woody because he wants to be with Andy and everyone's like, yeah, we're gonna get played finally. It's only been years, you know, and everyone's stoked, but they're in the little kid pen. And the little kids don't know how to play with the toys the right way. So, like, they're dipping them in paint and everything, and
it's like a horror sequel. They made it a perfect horror. The one thing I like about this movie is it works with cliches, almost. Like, it does them perfectly.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's a lot of almost allusions to other
movies
and
yeah.
film.
Also, I know those movies are always good to being funny to adults as well
yeah.
as kids.
Yeah.
They meet... Andy's sister brings Barbie along the way, and then at the daycare they meet Ken, who is voiced by Michael Keaton, Batman, the original Batman, and he sounds so...
Beetlejuice.
That too. And he they play Dreamweaver when they meet, so...
Well, let's not tiptoe around the fact, like, they definitely play with the idea that Ken might be gay. But they do it.
He loves wearing costumes.
But they do it in such a, like, not classy, but they do it in such a very safe way that kids won't be that, like, the kids that go and see it won't be like that, like, what the hell's going on? but the adults will get it and will crack up at it because they just flirt with it. Because, yeah, he's like, my dream home. And he was like, here's my closet. And he's like, can I try on my clothes for you? And he's like dancing the whole time. And it's just, it's really funny.
While
the way they're
playing,
do that.
Freak out.
Yeah. So,
also,
the thing
that,
is.
That one scene where, I'm not going to reference where it was, but that one scene with the bookworm where he's wearing, Barbie goes up to meet the bookworm.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like, ugh.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's, there's a lot of, like, Pixar movies are always really good at, like, slipping in subtle jokes that both, like, every audience can get. And the thing is, like, the movie definitely feels like it was made for people my age. Like, it wasn't made for the younger kids, but they all enjoy it, you know what I mean? This was definitely for the audience that was young when the first Toy Story came out, which was really, really cool, and
yeah.
You felt that. Because, and I mean, not to give the, not giving any spoilers away, but basically the whole thing ends up being a metaphor for growing up. And, well, that's how I took it anyway. I don't know, did you get the same feeling out of it, Muzz?
Yeah. And I mean, it gave me ideas, and it gave me thought, and it gave me Clarence, and
it really, and of course, you know, I'm a whiny teenager, so that doesn't want to grow up. So this, it was just like,
damn,
really
kids.
Yeah. So it's funny that I'm going to say this, but out of every movie I've ever seen, and I kind of say that my favorite movies are always ones that make you think. This is going to be the most emotionally crippling for me. Because I was so bummed out by the end of this movie that it was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was kind of like this realization that it was like, all right, Tyler, oh, Carnage, what the fuck? Carnage.
not cutting that
well,
out.
Well, I hope you don't call yourself Carnage in your own head. That'd be a bit freaky. I don't call myself Doc in my own head, you know?
I don't even know where the hell that just came from. But it was kind of like, all right, dude, you're growing up now. Get used to it. Like, that was almost, like, the message that this movie conveyed. And it was just, like, don't get me wrong. It was a happy movie, and it was a very funny movie, and it did everything right. Like, it was the best of the three that I think.
Yeah. Well, Toy Story 1, you have to have at least Toy Story 1 to build up to Toy Story 3.
Oh, well, yeah. But, I mean, like, it was short of being an amazing film, which, you know, Pixar, for me, that's always how it is. But this movie just emotionally attacked me, and it's hard to talk about it without like giving away the spoilers or anything like that, but it just ends on a very somber note, I guess, because I mean, not the movie, but just in your head you're like, fuck, my childhood's over. I don't know. It's very, very, very
welcome
weird.
To the club. Welcome to the club.
It's just a weird-ass feeling, Karn, dude. I'm so upset by it.
Karn, I have a question. I'm not going to say what the scene was, but did you, in one part of the movie, get... Have you seen Terminator 2?
Yeah.
Did you get that? It almost felt like Terminator 2 to me. That one part. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Are we talking about the baby doll?
No. I'm talking about near the end of the movie.
I don't know.
Okay, well,
but I do want to say that there's a fucking baby doll who is creepy as shit, because I don't like dolls at all. So,
or clowns.
Or clowns. But this doll walks around, it's like fucking Frankenstein, because his eyes rolling in the back of his head. And it's so scary, dude, but, I mean, the movie was fantastic. It was just awesome, and I will always love Pixar movies.
I'm a little worried about the future because they're doing Cars 2, so,
Yeah, but I won't see that. And they're also doing Monsters, Inc. 2. So
they're doing two movies a year coming up, so, which I'm a little worried about, but we'll see. Still might be good.
Oh, and the short and before the movie was awesome.
Do you see it in 3D?
No, I didn't.
Because I was like, this would be so much better if it was in 3D.
But, of course, Pixar always does shorts before their films, and most of them are really kind of cute and funny. Like, the one before WALL-E was about a rabbit, a magician and a rabbit. It was really cool.
That
and
was
this
like
one,
a Warner Brothers cartoon, almost.
Yeah.
And this
and
one
this
is kind of, too.
This one's really hard to explain, because it's like, there's a black background, but, and there's two figures that they're very, just very simple, like blob like figures, but inside of them, like their bodies is a 3D,
computer,
a computer, yeah, computer generated, like, scene. So, like, a guy will, he wakes up and he has to pee, so he runs over and he's standing and there's a waterfall right near his crotch. And then, like, he'll walk and then chase, like, there'll, birds will fly around him, or he gets punched and birds fly up around. Like, this is very cool. And of course, he meets another one who is at nighttime and he's daytime. And, like, he'll be walking and stand over Las Vegas and it'll be at nighttime and it's going crazy. And then the day guy pushes him away and stands over it and it's really calm because it's daytime. It's very, very neat and really hard to explain. Like, I'm trying to do my best, but.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things you have to see it. So,
yeah, it's so awesome, though. I mean, Toy Story 3 was fantastic.
But, yeah, I mean, I've just been seeing good movies. Like, the worst movie I saw this year was Alice in Wonderland, and that wasn't terrible. But,
yeah.
This is probably up there for my best movie of the year. How about you?
Oh, it has to win animated, for sure.
Yeah.
And as far as best movie, I can't see anything else emotionally beating this, no, because this has such a strong moral and theme to it that I don't know. It genuinely is hard for me to talk about almost, because it's just like a very big, like, what the fuck, Toy Story? I can't believe you just dropped this on
and
me.
And for being Toy Story 3, a sequel to the third in a trilogy, this is really damn good.
Yeah. I mean, it's just weird, because usually by the time three or four comes out, you're like, alright, like, this is getting bad. Like, I just saw that they're making a third Meet the Parents. What the hell is that? The second one was terrible, and I didn't think the first one was that good.
Well, the first one was weird, because it wasn't really funny when you're watching it, but when you're talking to somebody about that movie, it became really funny. It was one of those things. Like, oh, remember that scene where he licked his own asshole? Yeah, that was hilarious, you know?
Yeah, that's weird that I think they're making a third one. I don't know why everyone feels like there needs to be a trilogy now, but the fact that this one was so spread out and that they released it right now, it was like a mental hand grenade by Pixar.
And they're going to not make a Toy Story 4, but they're thinking about doing shorts, like, and DVDs and stuff like that, and there probably will be a Toy Story short in front of Cars 2. Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I mean, I like Toy Story. The story and, I don't want to say universe, because, you know, it's not really that expanded, but the whole thing that they have going on is, I'm down for it. Like, I'm buckled in, let's go.
The new characters were great in this, weren't they?
Yeah, the Triceratops was awesome, where they're like, who's Velociraptor or whatever on the computer? And she was like, oh, it's just a dinosaur. No big deal, and she exited out of it. It was cool, I don't know. It was awesome. It was really good.
So, yeah, Toy Story 3, A+.
Okay. Definitely.
Yay.
He's like, you damn kids.
I'll probably end up seeing it, but I'm not going to a fucking movie theater to see it.
No, dude, it was $10.50 for me. Are you shitting me? $10.50.
For one person?
Yeah, that was one ticket.
This is why I love my local movie theater. Guess how much it cost for me and my dad? We got free popcorn, drinks only cost 50 cents, and hot dogs. $16 for the whole shebang.
About to stab you in the chest, dude.
But there's only three.
One dude.
But there's only three theaters in the whole movie complex, so.
But it's not like a budget theater where they play, you know, last month's movies?
No, it's like brand new stuff. Like, I saw Toy Story 3 there.
Not bad.
A good deal. Yeah. God damn it. How much is it for you to go to the movies, Doc?
We do have a dollar theater that's normally $2, but it's a dollar on Wednesdays, something like that, where the floor is permanently sticky and the seats are all fucked up. But I have not been to a normal movie in probably over a year or so, but I could see it being $10 because it's one of those main theaters. I forget who the fuck runs half the theaters in this country. But
mine's called Regal. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Regal theater. Yeah. So it's probably going to be close to the same price.
So, like, the fucking sodas is $8. And, like, popcorn, if you want a popcorn, it's $8.50. It's ridiculous.
Last time I bought a soda at movie theater, it was,
I think I was 14, and it was like $3.21 for a 32-ounce, which that's their small, of course. That's their small.
Yeah, the sizes are huge. I mean, you kind of do get your money's worth with the sodas, but I can't drink that much anyway.
No, soda is the cheapest thing to produce, and they make a killing off of it, because each 32-ounce of soda really costs about 5 cents to make after all said and done. Because you buy the Sebring in bulk, you buy the CO2 in bulk, and then it's just fucking filtered water after that. It's so cheap to make.
So we're going to open up a soda shop. Is this what you're saying?
If we open up an old school soda shop, like an old school soda fountain shop, I'm all down for it. It'd be awesome.
That would be wicked, dude. Yeah, let's do that.
Mix the syrup to the stuff. Adding all 27 flavors of Dr. Pepper together would be great.
Karn, turn your dad's sandwich shop into a soda shop.
Fucking a soda juke shop.
That would be wicked. Like, I've only been to like a real soda shop like once.
Same here. And I got some green soda. It wasn't that good.
Green soda.
Yeah. It was lemon
Mystery
lime.
Mystery green.
Yeah.
Okay, Toy Story 3, and then movie theater prices.
Okay. What have you been watching, dude?
And the youth of today and how they don't like anything. All right.
Okay, so the other movie I've been I saw it at a film festival, because I'm special like that, and it's called Cherry. It's another, like, coming-of-age movie about going to college, and this kid, basically, he meets this, like, what do you call it?
I don't know.
What do you call it?
Someone that's, like, graduated and went for a... back.
A grad student? Alumni? Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Alum is the singular form.
Oh, what?
He is an alum.
Actually, it's a girl.
She is an alum. All right, go ahead.
And she has a daughter, and they just basically like go on all these crazy like shit that happens. Like it's really like hard to explain without like ruining the movie.
We're all about the crazy shit this week, aren't we?
Dude,
how many times have we said crazy shit? Some crazy shit goes down, and it's wild, man.
But, like, I can't say that much, except that it's good. And if you guys can see it, go see it. I don't know how.
So, what would you... Is this, like, a coming-of-age movie, or...?
Yeah, it's, like, all about college and stuff like that. It's a little ridiculous at the beginning, but it gets its stride near the end. And it's kind of sad, too.
Is it? Do you think it's at least a realistic interpretation of college when they actually do show college? Because most of the movies, they show it as, you know, wild fucking frat party time, and that's not what college really is.
It's a little of that.
I mean, I did some crazy shit in my time, but some of the stuff they're doing, man, oh, man.
It's more the graduate and less, what do you call it? What's that one with Will Ferrell?
American Pie? Old school?
Yeah, less old school. If that gives you any idea.
Okay.
That's fine.
I didn't mind old school because I was the right age when I saw old school. But, yeah. Okay, so that sounds nice.
And what else
you been watching?
I'll probably talk about this next week, too, because I haven't finished it. But Mega 64 version 3, it's finally out, and I got to see it. So,
all I know about Mega 64 is I've seen the one YouTube video of him reenacting Shenmue, and that's all I know about Mega 64. Do they do anything else besides that stupid shit?
Okay, this is basically how it goes down. There's those skits. Okay, let me go back. Why they do those skits is because in the story, they're... The Mega 64 is the greatest gaming console of all time, and Dr. Pock, an evil scientist, wants to control the world by, like, making the perfect game that
when someone goes into it, like it's a virtual reality game, and you can put any cartridge or anything in it, and he wants to find the perfect game that when you go into it, that you'll never leave so he can control the world by selling it. And so that's why they do all those skits. So, like, that's, like, he went into Shenmue, and...
All right, that sounds a bit better to me, then. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not a... Like, I've seen the skits, and I think they're funny, but, like, I like their really surreal thought of comedy. Like this season... they call them versions, because it's a video game, and instead of seasons, and... Like, this version had, let me think, what was, like, oh yeah, like, there's, like, Dr. Pock, the evil scientist, has these two henchmen, I guess you'd call them, Horatio, who's, like, this lazy, I don't want to say Mexican, because that makes it sound racist, but...
Latino? Well, if he is from Mexico, then you could call him a Mexican, you know.
But that's basically what...
You're Mexican.
It's like calling a Jewish person a Jew. It works. If he's Jewish, he's a Jew. It's not like... It's not an insult.
And this crazy puppet named Marcus, who... he's probably the craziest of the bunch, Marcus. He's just, and it's all, it's not like, it's live action as Gumar has seen, and the puppet's live action too, so it's really weird to see this puppet talking around these other characters, but it's really funny. Like, Horatio, the lazy Mexican.
Now you're crossing it. Now that's a bit stereotypical now. You gotta watch out.
Wait, lazy is the stereotype? I thought it was the other way around.
They are not lazy, but lazy is a stereotype. Like in the Speedy Gonzales cartoons back in the day, Speedy's cousin was always a Mexican in trouble, and he was always lazy and tired and stuff like that. Slowpoke Gonzales. That was the stereotype.
But anyway, he wins $10,000, and he goes on a vacation, and Dr. Varrock has to deal with this boat that was supposed to be called, you know, saying this out of context makes it sound like a completely racist show, because...
They sound like a bunch of bigots already, but yeah, go ahead.
Because the boat was supposed to say bigger boat, because there was the big boat, and you probably know where the joke's going to go. Because there was a big boat, and then he wanted the bigger boat, and it doesn't say bigger on it. So if that gives you an idea of what it says.
Yeah, I can replace the first letter to something else, yeah.
And Horatio ends up eating his own hat at them, because he says, if that really says what it says, I will eat my own hat. And he brought pizza to put on his hat so he can easily eat it. It's really surreal, and it's... really different, and saying it out of context makes me question the show much more, but I don't know. I'm really thinking, I don't know. I really like the show, but I don't know.
I like now, the Dead Rising short they did.
That was in this version. Yeah, that was
where they were taking pictures of random people, and he was going, nice! Terrific! And they were just kind of staring at him.
And then he barricaded a little children's area with stuff, and he said, no zombies are getting in here. And the people didn't even move the barricade, they just went through a hole. I remember that. But you kind of have to see it for yourself. It's very surreal humor, and it's not racist all the time. I don't know.
Well, if you put it that way, I want to go see it right now.
It's not racist all the time. Like, come on, guys.
You just happen to remember the racist parts and bring them up.
Guess what our title for the episode is going to be?
All right.
Okay, go on, Gumar.
All right, well, I feel bad. I've had this on my queue for a while, and Carnage Stitch recommended, but I've watched Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes.
I was actually really happy because it was in Spanish and I speak a good deal of Spanish, so I turned off the subtitles and understood about 80% of the movie. So I was very happy with that. But first going into Pan's Labyrinth, I was thinking it was going to be some type of children's movie, you know, Jim Henson puppets, stuff like that. But it was very dark and very adult.
Well, it is rated R.
Yeah, well, I don't look at ratings because I could watch whatever the hell I want. But, yeah, I'm a grown up. I could watch whatever I want. But, they had the main girl. She likes fairy tales and stuff like that. So that was one of the main things. But the story is going on during, I believe it's during World War II, when Spain is trying to, I'm pretty sure it's going on during World War II, where Spain is trying to join the Nazi regime, because there was a lot of disorder, like the king of Spain wanted to do certain stuff and started cracking down to become more fascist and everything like that. So I believe that's what was going on. I'm not so sure about the timeline. Do you know what it was, or are you not so sure yourself?
I was just thinking it was the Spanish Civil War, but I don't even know if there ever was one like that. That's just kind of what my brain assumed.
Yeah.
So I don't – that's cool.
1944, so yeah, 5 years after the Spanish Civil War, during the Franco – yeah, the Spanish Civil War was during World War II, so yeah, we're both right. We're winners.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. Yeah!
But it's going on during World War II, and a lot of fighting, and pretty much there's this band of rebels that are trying to fight this military unit, and the protagonist, the main girl, her mother is married and is going to have a kid with the captain of this military unit, and the guy's a fucking maniac.
Good of a bad guy is he?
He is a very good bad guy. Excellent bad guy. He's just downright evil. I mean, he comes off as nice and polished because he's a military, you know, officer, so they're always nice and polished, but they're really dark and sinister on the inside. So,
like,
all right,
this isn't a big deal with the plot, but bashes some guy's face in with a bottle very early on in the movie, and that's like just for the it was basically for the hell of it, like. It was because he thought he was hunting rabbits.
Yeah, yeah. He kills a guy with his own hands. It's not like he shot him. He literally just beat him to death with his own hands because he thought he was a spy. In actuality, he really was just hunting rabbits. It's very dark. The storyline goings on, it's the girl has to do certain tasks to because she's supposed to be the princess of this magical world. You know, this never-ending world type of thing where a princess escaped, and she is the same soul. She has the same spirit as this princess, going back into this area where the gate to the world is, and she's doing all these crazy stuff to try and go back into the world because she hates her life because it sounds shitty. You have a soon-to-be stepfather that's a maniac. A mother that's very controlling. Now she's not controlling, but she's being controlled very easily. And the girl just wants the girl just wants to have fun, live in her fantasy world. So it's very good. I would recommend this movie. The animatronics are great. They're awesome. Were they CG or were they actually animatronics? They're animatronics, right?
The guy that played Pan. And, or the Fawn, he's not really called Pan in the movie, but, and the pale dude with the eyes was Doug Jones, and he's really well known for doing that kind of stuff, because he plays in Hellboy, he was Abe, the blue guy, and he was the Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four, and that's kind of his thing, and he's always really good with that stuff, and he learned Spanish for this movie.
The way you describe the pale man with the eyes doesn't really, it's not very good, but you
know,
the guy with the eyes on his hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a monster that eats children, pretty much. Very cool. That scene's very tense. I like that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much that scene right there. It's like, wow, this really isn't a children's movie.
No,
because not even the fantasy part is, you know, nice and happy and frolicky, you know.
Yeah, I was expecting a very kind of children's movie as well, because like my cousin was like, hey, let's watch this, and I was like, it's in Spanish, it's a kids movie, no way. And like by the time I got done, I was like, this movie's really, really good. Like, it's just really cool.
Do they have dubs, or is it only in subtitle?
I haven't checked for any dubs. The copy I own is subtitled.
Yeah. I can't. Spanish and dubbing probably goes along fairly easily. There's some languages that don't dub over very good, like Thai. Thai, you cannot dub with the English language. It makes everybody look like a moron. Mandarin works really well with the English language, but Thai, no way in hell. But, yeah, I enjoyed the movie. It was very good.
And I just want to say that the little girl, the main character, she did a really good job in this movie. And this was her first movie.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So she did. Yeah. But I just think this whole movie is, I think it's a special kind of movie just because it's, you know, obviously. And it's also one of those things where it's left up to your own imagination about what's really going on. Which is, it's nice. I always just like stuff like that. And if you like this, you should watch, this is kind of a spiritual successor to this movie called The Devil's Backbone. But the only different, like, the problem with that movie is the Guillermo del Toro didn't do the subtitles himself for that movie, which he did for this one. Because in that movie, he thought they came off as, like, robotic, you know? It was, like, way too proper.
Yeah.
But the movie itself is very, very cool. So if you like this, you could go back and check that one out. I think that's on Netflix as well.
Okay, that's cool. I also watched Mad Max the other night, off of Netflix Instant, and I've seen Road Warrior, I've seen Thunderdome, but I never saw the original Mad Max. And first I want to say is that this movie looked gorgeous because it was streaming in high definition, and it's made in 1979, and I really can't believe how good they make these movies look from back then. I mean, have you guys noticed watching old movies in high definition or anything like that?
I don't have a high def TV, so no.
Well, there you go. But it's just, it's gorgeous. I mean, I can't explain it. Like, if I was going to watch it on VHS, it would look like terrible shit. And even, standard DVD, it would just look terrible compared to this. Like watching The Shining, it's not very good looking, but if, you know, they have a Blu-ray version.
Oh, I watched that. I should have fucking talked about that. Damn.
The Shining?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and your brother was an idiot.
Yeah. Alright, keep going, sorry.
But, yeah, Mad Max, it's one of Mel Gibson's first films. It's about a somewhat post-apocalyptic Australia where, there is law, like in the other Mad Max movies, there's no police officers or anything like that. But this, there's a justice system. They're not very large, but, I guess since Australia is so wide and open, everybody that, you know, is a criminal kind of just like runs the roads. They do whatever they want on the roads, you know, motorcycles, cars, and everything like that. The first scene is, a maniac called the Knight Rider. This is before the Knight Rider TV show came out, so it was all right to be called the Knight Rider. But just kind of like just driving as fast as humanly possible down the roads and how the police are trying to stop them. And finally, you know, Mel Gibson's badass character comes along and plays chicken with him and scares the shit out of him. And he just pulls over and surrenders. But actually, no, he dies. But he does scare him. Yeah.
He surrenders his life.
Mel Gibson got into his head by playing chicken. You know, he's that badass. But it's very cool. If you like cars, you'll love this movie because they're not. I'm sure they're real factory model cars, but filmed in 1979, so they look like they all look like Ford Pintos actually, but with some really cool paint jobs and ground effects on it and different.
You can put a Hemi in that.
Yeah. But they look like that type of like hatchbacks, that type of old 70s hatchback type of thing. But they're very cool and stylistic looking. So if you like cars, this is a very cool movie. Not directly about cars, but pretty much if that Knight Rider guy dies and the gang that's in charge that he was a member of, the main guy's called Toe Cutter. He's fucking Toe Cutter. I didn't see him cut any toes. I have no idea why the fuck he was called Toe Cutter at all. But it's the leader of this gang, and they want to exact revenge on the people that killed their friend Knight Rider. And some crazy shit happens, and Mel Gibson has to clean up after losing a lot. So it's pretty cool, but the only problem I have with those old movies, same thing happened with The Shining, is that they don't know how to end a movie. Do you feel that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, like I've never seen this.
Yeah, but there's a pretty good climactic ending, but then like then they linger in some weird shit. They don't really know how to end a movie. It's like, okay, and then credits roll magically, and you're like, whoa, that was the ending? What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, with this, you kind of tell the ending was coming, but it was just kind of weird how it happens. I think maybe the ending happened, the climactic part happened way too fast, and that might be the problem. Like with The Shining, it's 2 hours of Jack going crazy, and then the ending is, you know, five minutes of sheer random wild happenings. But that's my problem I have about those older, like, 70s movies. They're all pretty much filmed that way.
I have a question.
Yeah, shoot.
Since I get this, and is this the one that's based off of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, or is that... I can't think of the other one. It's like this and Blade Runner, I think. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
I get them mixed up for some reason. One of them is based off of a book by Philip K. Dick.
I guarantee it's Blade Runner, because this is more believable post-apocalyptic world, while Blade Runner was more science fiction type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never seen either of them, and I know they're both supposed to be like really good, so I just get them mixed up.
I know they're also making a new Mad Max movie, Mad Max 4. I don't know if there's going to be some other title behind that. Like, there's Mad Max, Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, and Mad Max 3, Welcome to Thunderdome, which stars Tina Turner. But so far, this first one is the best. Road Warrior's good, and Mad Max 3 is a sellout, pretty much.
Is so 4 going to have Gibson in it?
Probably. Gibson's not that old yet.
No,
he still looks normal. He doesn't look like Joe Pesci. Have you seen
Joe Pesci?
And Joe Pesci recently, he doesn't look like Stallone all juiced up. You know, he's kept his body in good shape. Hasn't done anything wrong to it besides DWIs and Passion of the Christ. But other than that, he's all right. So I could see Mel Gibson starring in this.
Okay.
Yeah, Gibson's a good actor. I don't really care what he does in his personal life yet again. We were talking about this earlier with Michael Jackson, but, you know, Gibson's a good actor, even if he is fucking insane. And okay. Now everybody's going to picture the South Park episode with Mel Gibson in it, but...
That's exactly what I was saying.
Yeah, I knew that. You people always think the same way.
Us people, what are you?
You heard me. You heard me, motherfucker.
There has not been a show that's gone by where we haven't made the "you people" joke. I swear to God. I don't know.
Also, last night I watched Yojimbo, which is part of the epic samurai movies by Akira Kurosawa, which is probably the most renowned director out of Japan. I'm sure some people are going to contradict me, but he's probably the most well-known director out of Japan.
Probably an excellent.
A lot of people try to emulate his style. All his films are old. They're from the 50s, so they're all black and white. Well, I think there's a few that are in color, but they're black and white, and they're about samurai and, you know, just pretty much fucking shit up. But he always it's not just like a martial arts movie. There's always a very good story behind it and a very good character development. Like, this one stars, I think his name is Taishiro Mifune, which is in almost all of Akira Kurosawa's films. Very good actor, and he plays a samurai, a ronin, a samurai with no master, that just happens to come across a town that has two rival gangs fighting it out, and all the townspeople are scared because the gangs pretty much just run the entire town, and they're trying to kill each other. And he comes off as a person that doesn't give a shit. He comes off like that, but he stays in the town to try and fix what was wrong. Like originally the town people don't really know what he's doing. Like, is he in it just for the money, joining both sides and stuff like that? But later, as the story progresses, they figure out that he's trying to help them, and he has a really good heart. Technically, he has no name. The main character in the stories is very popular samurai with no name. He gives a fake name as Sanjuro something or another, which the literal translation means like barley field 30-year-old, because he's staring at a field of barley while he's saying his name. So technically he has no name. He just gave a fake one in that situation, which is pretty cool. That it helps with the character development. But he goes, bounces back and forth between both sides, slowly picking off people and trying to start them just to pretty much kill each other flat out. That way he can, you know, make the town free and happy again. So it's a very good movie, especially if you like those older style samurai movies. Pretty much all the movies by Akira Kurosawa I can recommend. Seven Samurai is awesome, but that's 3.5 hours long, so if you don't have the fucking time to do it, you know, you might have to wait. There is an intermission right in the middle of it, though, so you can stop after like an hour and a half and then pick it back up. God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Sanjuro is another one, which is, I don't know if it's the prequel to Yojimbo or the sequel to Yojimbo, but it technically has the same character. And I think Ran is another one that has the same actor in it, which is a little bit different. Ran is actually an interesting movie because it's either Ran or Rashomon. I can't remember, so I got to look. Pretty much. A crime happens, and they need to figure out who did it. But they're looking at 10 different, like 4 or 5 different perspectives. I'm thinking Rashomon. Rashomon's the movie I'm thinking of, but it's between 4 or 5 different perspectives. So they tell the same story over and over again, but from different perspectives. So it's a very cool aspect, especially for back then. So he's a very good director, way ahead of his time. Do you guys like samurai movies?
Yes. I like Samurai Jack.
Oh, man, this show is fucking awesome. No, I like samurais. I just like the whole culture of it. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah, it is. These movies are very good, so I would recommend anything by Akira Kurosawa. All right, and that's all I've been watching.
So we just got a tiny bit of news, and then we're done. Should we even do the news?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Karn, you talk about the first one, because I don't care.
Okay. There's going to be the new World of Warcraft patch will enable cross-game chat through Battle.net when, like, StarCraft comes out. So it's not really relevant now, but later on when StarCraft is finally released...
StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, rather, sorry. You'll be able to talk to each other through Battle.net. And I think this is just cool because I really like what they're doing with the Battle.net.
But I can't see this being used.
I can see it being used. Two different addictions coming together. StarCraft.
No. People are not addicted to both World of Warcraft and StarCraft.
No. I mean, one or the other. That's what I mean. Like, let's say I have a friend addicted to StarCraft. I can talk to him while I'm addicted to World of Warcraft. You see what I'm saying? So we can still conjugate or whatever. But
I guess. But when I was playing World of Warcraft, it's pretty much you talk to people in the game. That's the whole point, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're talking about. You can talk about, you know, I never played role playing servers, so, but you just talk to people in the game. You know, I can't see wanting to talk to somebody outside of the game. It's like talking to somebody.
And if you do, you'll just Skype up, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, you talk to, if it's your friend, you have some other ways to contact him other than when he's playing StarCraft, you know? So it's an interesting idea. I can't see it being used at all.
I can't really either, but I think it sounds cool. And I just like what they're doing with Battle.net. Like in
maybe when Battle.net gets big enough with enough different games, like I see two people playing different RTSs talking.
I think it's not, it also
but
could
not,
be one
not
of those
for. Not for a MMORPG. I can't see that because the whole point is to be immersed in that world when you're playing, you know. So I can't see it going from two completely different genres and two completely different stories. But it's interesting. Would you? I know you still play WoW, right?
A little bit. I haven't for a while, but I think the where this would come in handy is if. I think it'll have a very specific use, and I think it'll be, oh, hey, what's-his-face is on StarCraft. Like, it'll have, like, a friends list or whatever, and you'll be like, and you'll call him and be like, dude, we have to raid in, like, 10 minutes. What the fuck are you doing? Get over here.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be pretty much
the
extent.
Or maybe so-and-so's on StarCraft. Okay, maybe I'll go play StarCraft with him now. But I can't see people playing both games and talking, like, holding down a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm.
Muzz, this next one looks like it has your name on it.
I guess. DC Comics is gonna be on, it's for both iPad and PSP, it's gonna be on there, so, yeah.
They're pretty late to this game, right?
Yeah, Marvel has been there for a while, I don't know. We're not talking about the next news story.
But, oh, no, we didn't have to.
Okay. Xbox Live.
I want to talk about that story, but I guess we'll skip over it.
Yeah, for now.
I have so many questions, though.
Fucking. Now people are going to be like, what the hell are they talking about?
But let's keep it a secret. Okay. Xbox Live Gold Family Plan.
It has to do about Carnage's penis. Okay, moving on. But no, this next news story is actually very, very important. So go ahead, Muzz. Enough about his penis. I digress.
Xbox Live Gold Family Plan. You get 4 gold subscriptions for the price of 2. Does this mean you can only have 4 gold subscriptions on the same Xbox or multiple? Because we were talking about this, and I don't know.
Well, I could have my account on two different Xboxes right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they're just standard gold accounts. The main concern I was wondering about, I didn't read the story. Carnage pulled it up, so I was wondering, and you were too, Buzz, if you could just buy 4 gold plans and then save it for when years run out, or do you have to use them concurrently in the same year?
Oh, that's a good question.
They probably have safeguards against that.
Yeah, like, so for $100, I can buy a 4-year pass as opposed to, you know, me spending $50 every year.
But by then, they'll by the 4 years being up, they'll probably have Xbox Live Q with $100 a year or something.
No. I can see Xbox Live sticking between whatever new platform they'll put out. You know, whatever new console, it's still going to be Xbox Live. They've built it up. I mean, it goes between PC and 360 now. I was playing Dawn of War 2, and I get achievements on my PC that go to my gamer tag. So it's nice. So I can see them sticking with the Xbox Live thing, regardless of what system they have out.
Now, and they also, they don't have details on this as far as I know, but this is also supposed to include some sort of bonus for, like, families or something. Like, reward, I don't know. It just says it's going to include extra goodies. Whether or not that's enough.
Like, extra goodies.
Yeah, basically.
Here's some candy for your kids.
I didn't find any actual details about what that meant, but apparently it is supposed to be. It's a pretty sweet deal.
It is a good deal. It's 50% off, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent deal. I know Steam has been doing something like this where they have packages. Like they have a 4-pack of Borderlands where you get 4 codes for it, and you can give them out to your 3 other friends, you know, that type of thing for a discounted price.
Oh,
so
yeah,
the idea,
cool.
Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, the idea has been around, but this is good. I like this. Discount for multiple purchases. I mean, I have 2 brothers, so we're not running on the same time schedule for Xbox Live or else I would buy it all for us and have an extra one to give out maybe. So it's nice.
Yep,
this would work really well for NoobTube contest, actually.
Yeah, you're right. It would.
Giving and like subscriptions, yeah.
And you know that, like we've mentioned last week, the 360 is about to see a pretty big jump in sales, I think, you know.
Oh yeah, they've I know GameStop has advertisements now for the arcade for $150 and the old Elite for $250. So they are doing advertisements for that, and $150 for an Xbox. Then you have a discounted gold package. That's pretty good.
And that's cheaper than a Wii.
This is a smart move on their part. And yeah, a Wii. I don't know about the next one. You guys can.
Okay, Vines quit acting because I.
I've read the article. Something like she just didn't like acting. That's why it wasn't a fairy tale like everybody else thinks it is. So she just quit. She's a quitter. Nobody liked her anyway.
I still will miss the Amanda show.
What's that show? She's on a show that's on like in between watching 70s show on whatever.
All that? Like, no.
No,
oh, she was on a sitcom, a major.
It's called like What I Like About You about or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's what it was, but I don't watch that show.
Okay, Karin, the last one I think, or the second to last one is you.
Yeah, apparently they're making a Dead Rising movie. It's called Zombrex Dead Rising Sun, which you know Zombrex is the cure, the medicine. Yeah, basically to put off being a zombie, and I think. I'm not sure what the hell's going on with this, but I'm pretty sure it's fan-made. It looks like it. Or that the director is involved with it. I can't remember what it said, but apparently this is going to be free, and it's going to come out soon, and it's going to come on Xbox Live first before anything else. So that's
Is it an animated feature or something like that? Like what they did with Dead Space, or is it live action?
No, there's pictures of like guys sitting in wheelchairs with nails attached to it and stuff like.
So this is basically kind of like Lineage and Bright Falls, basically.
Could be. I don't know.
Okay.
It might be full length. I don't know.
Oh,
Bright Falls was cool. I didn't play Alan Wake, man, but Bright Falls was fucking awesome.
I need to see that before I play Alan Wake.
Fucking creepy.
Karn hates Alan Wake.
I don't hate it. It's just. Not good.
It's just not good. Okay, and then I'll let Gumar do the last one.
Yeah, since I'm the one that uses it the most. But Steam is having an insane sale right now. It's their summer sale. I guess they're going to have a biannual sale now because they had one during Christmas.
Mm, that was awesome.
You can get games for so fucking cheap now. They have almost everything on sale. And every day they put up new, really good discounted items. So if you go to steampower.com, if you have Steam, and on the front page they have a timer that says how long those sales are good for. Those are the ones you have to constantly watch because those are the best deals you're ever going to get. And they change every day. They do have other sales for bundles and stuff like that, but those are going to be on sale for the entire, I think it's until July 4th.
Yeah, July 4th is the end of the excitement.
So most of those sales, other than the ones on the front page, they're going to be at least that price the entire time. So if you see something there, you might want to wait a bit to buy it until the last day. Because
it might get cheaper.
It probably will get cheaper because for the Christmas special, I got screwed on a couple games. I won't recall it screwed because it was still dirt cheap when I bought it, and it was pretty much worth nothing when the sale was going on. So you might save a couple bucks, but I mean, it's just amazing. Hold on, let me pull up Steam and tell you what I bought in the past few days. Oh, like I said, The Witcher is on sale right now for 66% off. It's $6.80, and that's an excellent price for that. But, what did
That's
I buy?
Nice.
Yeah, yesterday
look if you friended me.
Well, you didn't give me an invite, Dick. But okay. Yesterday I bought the Unreal Gold Pack, which has every Unreal game in it. That was like $13. I bought the Overlord bundle, which had Overlord 1, 2, and the expansion for Overlord 1. I bought Men of War in the expansion pack. I bought and Introvision, I think is the name of the company, their bundle for $5, which has Darwinia, Multiwinia.
I need to get that.
And a few other games in it. It's $5 fucking.
I know. But I don't, like, already I've got I bought Killing Floor, the Overlord pack, that was only yesterday, Trine, that was only yesterday, and I think that was it.
Yeah, I also bought Cryostasis and both Deus Ex games. I think that was all I bought yesterday. But yeah, keep an eye on that Steam page, because there's going to be something you want. Like, today's sales are pretty good. I can't really run most of it on my laptop, because it is a laptop.
Even on my rig, most of these games will not work.
Like,
I got a crap rig.
The only game I know I can't run on my laptop is Lead and Gold, Gangs of the Wild West, which is only $5.10. And this is a brand new game. This is a brand new game, and I know a lot of people on YouTube are going to buy it. It's kind of like a Wild West Team Fortress 2 type of style, third person. So I heard it looks like a lot of fun. I wish I could run it. But, I mean, Ghostbusters on sale today, a bunch of cool games. So just keep your eye on that if you're a PC gamer. Keep your eye on that front page.
Okay. I heard that Bioshock 2 was like $15.
Yeah, that might go down, because that's in the package. That's in the, what is it, BioWare? Who the fuck does Bioshock?
2K.
2K.
That's in the 2K games package. So
it was cheaper yesterday. It was $15 yesterday.
Yeah, it was $15 yesterday. It's gone up today. But they might put it back on sale.
It's
amazing.
Because
right now 2K games are 25% off, but yesterday was the sale for Bioshock 2, which was 50% off.
So it's just crazy.
Like I said, amazing deals.
So that's the end of the podcast. We have one thing to talk about, or should we not even say it because it's sad?
You can mention it. This is going to be my last episode because I do work for a living, and my schedule's getting pretty crazy with people going on vacation and whatnot, so I can't exactly dedicate myself to a set time every week because it's going to fluctuate. I'll do it when I can, but if somebody wants a guest host to take my spot, good luck. It's big shoes to fill. I'm joking. I would love to hear some other motherfucker in my spot. It's more interesting. So, yeah, that's about it.
This is so his swan song. It was.
We're looking for guest hosts for Hobbies for Zombies.
Yeah, that Carnage kid. We're kicking him off the show.
Yeah,
fuck that guy.
Yeah.
We need a new co-host.
I got one more thing to say that me and Gumar have been working on. The episode 0, yeah. We need as much help for that. Even if you're just timestamping, go on to it, because the time's crunching down, and we gotta get all this content finished.
Well, we'd have a bit of an extension since Yuzo had a kid, so they're not exactly putting out numbered episodes right now, which is helpful.
Yeah, so we can slowly...
For September, I think they're going to hit episode 200, so we're going to need something. And you will be aired with this help. Your name will be on the credits, and I think they're going to use.
You'll be famous.
I think they're going to use whatever we make for the entire episode 200. Like, they're not going to say a goddamn thing. It's all going to be user created stuff. So
you're going to be famous.
Yeah, you'll be internet famous to the 25,000 fans on YouTube.
So that's the end of the show.
Yep.
You got anything to say, Carnage?
I love you all.
Aww.
I don't have anything. I'm going to miss you, dude.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm still going to be around, you know? It's not like I'm going off to war. If I can't find a real job, maybe I'll join the Air Force, but, you know.
Tomorrow when you don't show up in IRC, I'm going to be like, oh my God, he's gone.
The kids must have eaten him.
Damn kids.
Yeah, those fucking punk-ass kids always on my yarn, my lawn. Some bitches.
My yarn. My Kirby epic yarn.
My fucking epic yarn. Yeah, I'm so old I started knitting. Yep, that's how it is.
So,
I really can't be on the show because I'm taking up crochet. I'm sorry, that's the truth.
He's going to crochet tournaments.
That's right.
Okay. So, that's the end of the show. If you got any comments or anything, just either put them in the episode thread and
subscribe to us on iTunes.
Oh man, there. Crimson left us such a nice review. I just wanted to mention.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but he did mention he left a good one, so.
It's like glowing. Like, it's much better than we deserve. Yes.
So, yeah, and enjoy this episode, and we'll have many more.
Yep, I'm Dr. Kumar. It was fun. It was a blast.
Four episodes of Wonder with Dr.
Yep.
Kumar.
That's Carnage over there. Carnage, say bye.
Bye.
And always, there's Muzz.
This Muzz. Okay.
Just Muzz. Well, you're not gonna say bye to the people. You're like, yeah,
bye.
See you later.
Bye. Okay. See ya.
Yep.